to another episode of the Tiltcast, episode 107, Justin Loves Left 4 Dead.
In this episode, we're going to talk about Doom, BFG, Resident Evil, Wii U, and a lot of other games, so stay tuned. Sample these apples.
And hey, welcome to another episode of the Tiltcast. This is the Drunkosaurus Rex, coming back from a sporadic adventuring of drunking.
Of drunking, yes.
To my left is the Trentopolis.
That's Trenelope.
Trenelope.
Making it up as I go.
Okay.
The Trenelope. There is the, across from me, the Vadger Badger.
Yeah.
Holly. And special guest with us tonight is Josh in the Plaid.
Josh Wheaton.
That was a great nickname.
Actually,
Josh in the Plaid.
We have a new nickname for you. For her, it was the Booblusionist.
Boob-lusionist, yes. Boob-lusionist.
You weren't here for that one last week.
No.
Yeah. No. We said this while we were at work.
I know, but I mentioned on the show, but he wasn't here. And we were outside work one day, and we were talking, and she's like, because she said that she her tits felt meaty, like bloated in the ground. And I was like, you know, honestly, your tits aren't that big. It's just you're so small. They look bigger than they really are. They're actually just normal size.
It's just an illusion.
It's an illusion. So it's a boob-lusion. It's the boob-lusionist.
Well, I'm the boob-lusionist.
Yes.
All right. Well, hey, Trent, you want to lead us off? What have you been doing today, this week?
Nothing. I worked.
Doing a lot, but just busy.
Just working a lot of flash presentations and commercial adverts and logos and freaking banners and all that and stupid shit like that. And then next week is Halloween, but you know, next weekend we're not doing a show next week, just so everybody knows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know if I know me and Holly know that, but I don't know if you know.
I do now.
And now
you
our listeners know.
So, but we're not doing a show next week because it is Halloween. We have other important shit to do,
like scaring children.
Halloween.
Or egging
someone's house.
Employees. and then I'm going to be off in Pennsylvania, which, in my opinion, spending Halloween week on the East Coast area, that's perfect. Preciousness. So, but anyway, yeah. Get to see the leaves change, the levers, and it's gonna be great. I get to drive
then,
all along Lake Erie to get to.
Where else are you going?
Okay, well I'm going to Wilkes-Barre, but then I'm gonna jump down to Philadelphia.
Flip.
Yeah, I'm gonna go to Patty's Old City Pub, where you know the
Oh right.
Always Sunny is based off of. So I'm gonna go there.
Oh okay.
Yeah. And I'm going for a tattoo convention that I've been invited to, totally free.
Right.
So, don't have to pay for my gas or shit. Got somebody else filling it up. So.
That's nice.
Yeah. So I go there and get shitty drunk.
Well, damn.
Mm-hmm. I did buy the Borderlands DLC, but.
You haven't cracked into it yet?
No. I'm busy.
Yeah.
I haven't had time to do anything gaming. So this is like a no gaming episode of the cast, pretty much.
Yep.
Yeah. Because I sold my PC.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The thing weighed like 80 pounds. I wasn't carrying that thing around.
It weighed a me.
Yeah, it was like I had a Holly all strapped up into a briefcase that I had to walk around with. Ah.
This your desktop?
Yeah.
Why were you carrying your desktop around with you?
Well, you can go to LAN parties.
Fuck that. Make them come to your house. That's not the point.
No, I had a thermal take, like Trinity case or whatever. Like the
thermal takes are basically fucking big dick anyway.
Yeah.
With size,
yeah. Yeah. I've made about $600 off of it.
Nice.
So pretty much enough to do our budget build that people should buy.
Yes, they should.
Yeah, it is the shit. So Holly, what have you been doing besides not coming out drinking?
Work. I bleached my hair. If no one noticed that. Which I'm sure they did. See, so, yeah, I that.
Noticed.
Yeah, you did.
Looks good.
Yeah.
Well, it's not going to stay bleached. I have to bleach it one more time, and then I'm dying.
So you'll
all
be
my
blonde.
Hair blue. Yeah.
No, it's worker all
but
around.
But it's because I'm dying all my hair blue. And I can't do that with dark hair.
Are you going to be a Smurf? Or?
No, I'm going to be Cortana.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, that'll be really cool.
Yeah.
Is Caleb going to be Chief?
No. He still doesn't know what he's going
to
do.
Let's get ginger cheese.
We're trying to talk him, we're trying to talk him into being the Ice King.
Yeah.
For Adventure Time. Because he'd just be a good Ice King.
I don't know the Ice King. He said that he wanted to buy the big horse head. And I was telling him that he should buy that, he should get a suit, and then buy a huge strap-on dildo and just walk around with that. Because it's just random.
Or he could put it in his head, it could be like, you know, like a unicorn, but like with a dildo for a horse.
Actually, he could get a blow-up doll and strap it to his crotch area.
Like a unicock.
Like it's a horse fucking a blow-up doll, which is
fun. Actually,
there
yeah.
That's
that
a little
work.
Bit more, you know.
And it would be a little less expensive.
Probably.
Because I don't think blow-up dolls are as much as huge dildos.
Oh, no, no, they're not.
The Great American Challenge.
Just go to Spencer's. You can get, like, a really cheap-ass blow-up doll for, like, $20. So.
Trent's pretty educated in this.
He
I used to manage one. So, yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. Yeah, right.
He managed a blow-up
doll. I got a job. I had one, actually. I'm sorry. Now I work somewhere else as an art director.
Sorry, it kind of sounded like you'd, like, kind of priced him a little bit. Like, oh, you
did. I have the $20 one in my closet, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Might have to do video for a podcast sometime.
Mm-hmm. No, I just took it home and I was like, fuck it, blow it all. Brought home, my girlfriend said nothing. I was like, hey.
Got a friend.
I'm trying to keep you company since you won't work.
You casually slip that into your routine.
Yeah.
Just reach for it.
Just like, you know, banging her from behind, just reach off the side of the bed. Just throw it up.
Tonight we're banging
where'd
a special
that
guest.
Come from? She wants to join.
Other than that, I played a lot of Minecraft last night while I was bleaching my hair.
Did you guys finally finish the whole penis into the...
No, I wasn't I wasn't playing with Moon, and that's actually under his name.
You've been enjoying creative mode, I presume?
Yeah, I have. Because they did the update to the Xbox Live version.
The update
so
was like
got...
2 feet long on Game Informer when they announced that it was like everything.
So it's actually like the PC version now.
Hmm.
So it has creative mode and everything like that, so I've been taking advantage of it.
Right on. Mr. Josh, first time on cast, what's going on?
I don't usually have time to game because of work, but I make time and just sleep 4 or 5 hours a night. I have been playing a lot. I've recently picked up a GameCube and have one when they were new, so I've been playing a lot of GameCube games I missed out on. I'm currently playing through Legend of Zelda Wind Waker and the Resident Evil remake for the GameCube.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't get to play those as a kid, because I was, like, a kid. My parents were like, how about you play Crash Bandicoot instead? So I did. But now I'm going back and playing through those.
Yeah, I talk about the RE remake on GameCube quite often, because it's, like, one of the best fucking remakes ever.
Oh, it's fantastic. I've seen footage of the first one, but I haven't, like, played a lot of it, but this one's definitely better.
That makes me feel old, so I'm not going to talk to you now. I'm going to talk to
you. Right.
But, yeah, playing the first one was fantastic. Playing the remake, where it's the whole story. And all the extra shit, it was just fantastic. It's awesome, yeah.
I also end up getting a Game Boy player with my GameCube, and that's been a lot of fun. I've been playing a lot of Metroid Fusion on the TV, since Nintendo refuses to make a good new side-scroller Metroid game. Instead, they give us, you know, Other M.
The weird 3D...
Yeah, I mean, the Prime ones were good, but Other M was utter garbage.
Yeah, I've been kind of in and out of that scene recently.
And I've also been playing the Doom 3 remake. That's really good.
Yeah. That's the BFG.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
It's definitely worth it. It's only $40 brand new. It comes with Doom 1, Doom 2, which in itself, those are $15 total on Xbox Live. So if you don't already own those, it's, you know, that's a great deal. It also has the Resurrection of Evil expansion that came out shortly after the original release. And it's got something called the Lost Missions, which I haven't played that yet, but from what I've read, it seems kind of like an epilogue type thing. It's supposed to be like an extra 7 or 8 hours of content. So.
It was an extra part that just never got around to doing, like finishing, so they finally put it out.
Huh, okay.
My only complaint, excuse me, with it so far is I'm a bit jaded with remakes because I've recently started playing the Resident Evil remake, and of course the Halo 1 remake I was absolutely in love with. And so this is good, but... does seem a little bit not as good as, you know, the remakes. But it's also kind of hard to put that in id Software, because if you play the original Doom 3, it actually still looks good.
Yeah.
So they could improve it too much, and, you know, hey, it's only $40, but...
Well, so the main thing they really needed to get kind of worked on was, if they were going to release it nowadays, it's like the character models.
Yeah,
right.
For the enemies as well as the NPCs you talk to, and the gun skins.
Yeah.
Would be nice, and a little... Basically retexture the whole game. Just retexture it, that would be fun.
My biggest main complaint with it, which people should know if they're going to purchase it, is... they announced they were going to kind of go with the duct tape mod from the PC version, which I was okay with, but it's not optional. So if anybody played that before, there is no more, there's not even an option to play the original style where you switch between your gun and your flashlight,
that's bullshit.
I actually liked that. To me, that was cool.
I hated the duct tape mod because it was just kind of like, you're too scared to play the game without.
Exactly,
you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like Justin, he loves Doom 3. But he's like, okay, like, he borrowed Dead Space from me. He got about an hour and a half into it. Like, I can't play this anymore. He's like, well, you can take it back. And I was like, what's wrong? I was like, it makes me really nervous. That was the point. He's like, no, just uncomfortably nervous.
I did get irritated with a lot of people online when I was just excited at work, kind of, I'm going to go buy this after work type thing. And I was looking at some videos on YouTube from just trailers and things. And a lot of people are just kind of ignorant. And they were talking about, from what they saw in the trailer... Dead Space already did this, you know, things like that. It's like, no, Doom 3 came out
way before
Dead Space came out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They weren't even the same console, you know, so that was kind of, like, really? But, my main gripe with it, though, is there's no shadows with the flashlight. I don't know how that got out, but that made it kind of eerie. Yeah, I heard about it, tested it in a bunch of different areas. No shadows at all from the flashlight. There's also a glitch right now. I'm sure they'll fix it, or at least I'm hoping. There is absolutely no blood at all.
Well, they up-res the graphics for HD.
Well, right now, though, if you start a new game
and
you play through it, there will be blood in it. But if you reload a saved game, it's not in there.
Well, I'm talking about with the shadows. They up-res all the graphics for HD, which might be why they took the shadows out, because for some reason the shadows were causing, like, intense pixelation, just weren't wanting to work.
Yeah.
Like you see often with games nowadays, when people run around with your shadow.
Right.
The shadows would cost us. They probably just took it out because it was too distracting. Really
It's not a big deal, but if anybody's never played Doom 3 before, I do think they should click with the original first, just because that game was just... Especially if you go into it, like, this came out, I think it was 07? Maybe even 05, I can't remember.
Yeah, it was something like...
It's like 6-7 years ago, though.
Yeah, that's been a little bit.
So if you put those goggles on and play through, you're going to be blown away, because that game is just... I put so many hours into that. It was a great game.
Was Doom 3 one of the games they ported over for 360 from the original Xbox?
No.
It wasn't? Because I was going to say, that'd be the easiest way to do, is just go and grab it for Xbox original and just play it on 360. But
it does play in 360, though.
It does?
Yeah. Because I actually...
So, yeah, you can still do that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant, did they put it, like, on the...
Oh, on an actual... No. Yeah. I just meant, did they port it over so it actually would...
Yeah, it does work.
So that'd be the best and cheapest way to do, because you can probably grab, like, the special ed version they put out in the 10Ks for, like, dirt cheap, probably.
It's like $8 at vintage stock.
Or eight ducks.
Yeah.
You can
ducks.
Go and steal some ducks.
Or a full goose.
No,
just
when they announced it, I looked for my copy of Doom 3, couldn't find it. I just wanted to play it again. I was excited. So I ran to vintage stock, bought it, and no complaints to the graphics, though, because really they still look really good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like I have, like you were pointing out Doom 3 over there. Yeah, I got that. I also have, like, the Resurrection of Evil DLC somewhere buried in there as well. It's like, I was a big Doom 3 fan. I loved it.
I myself, I'm planning on changing it, but currently I'm not a big PC gamer, just because I don't have, you know, gaming rig. But a lot of forums I've read, a lot of people are talking about how the mods they have for the original Doom 3 actually look better, or just as good as the remake. So if you're going to get it in PC, it's kind of pointless.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, any game, if you want, obviously, user-generated content. I mean, look what they did with Skyrim.
Yeah, like, Skyrim's got fantastic.
Or the Fallout 3 remake,
Yep.
When they did that for PC, that looks phenomenal.
Even New Vegas has some really great packs out for it for, like, natural sandstorms, stuff like that.
The weather mods.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, with Doom 3, was just like, I have it, and, yeah, I installed it, like, maybe 3 years ago and went back through it again. But truth is, I'll probably end up buying, you know, I'll spend the money, the $40 for it, because I want the Lost Mission back. Because that's like 7-8 hours of extra content. I'm willing to pay that just to do that, you know.
Right.
So.
There, also, the remake of Doom 3 is for PS3 as well. So if anybody didn't get a chance to play it because they made the wrong decision and got a PS2, 7 Xbox, play in PS3 if you made the decision again.
Not really a wrong decision, just, you know, to each his own.
The incorrect one.
Potatoes make the world go round.
More, the more questionable. I guess I'd say.
Potato.
Potato. Taters. So.
Well, cool. I actually realized again why I don't like to get on Steam, as I splurged and got the Assassin's Creed pack for like $40.
It's great though, man. It really, I have all of them on there except for the new one, so it's not yet. But when,
yeah,
I got all of them, I went back through because I bought it for Revelations because I played all the others on Xbox. But
I love,
like,
Revelations.
Yeah. See. Yeah. Okay. Finally, somebody on the show. Justin yells at me about that. He's like, Revelation sucks and you're a retard for liking it. I'm like, dude, it's a bridge story. It's a bridge story.
Revelations was fantastic. Brotherhood I thought was good, but I actually like Revelations more than Brotherhood.
So I like the Borgia story that was in Brotherhood. It was really good, and it just, I like the way that Assassin's Creed takes real life people like Machiavelli.
Oh,
I
love it. And the Borgia story just went so well with it and the way they put it all together, and I was very happy with it. Revelations, though, and I said that Resident Evil 6 was the same way, and he loves Resident Evil 6, and I'm like, dude, most people who look at Resident Evil games would bitch about this, and a lot of people have, but it's a bridge story. It's taking all these main campaign characters and just telling you a quick story about what's happening to them so they can make way for something new.
Yeah.
Revelations is the same way. It's a huge cock tease at the end, but that's the point. It's
right.
Just to fit as much story in as possible and get you ready for what's going to happen next.
Story-wise, I would compare Revelations to with BioShock. I mean, BioShock 1, story-wise, is much better than 2.
Yeah,
but gameplay-wise, 2 was better.
It
had
a lot
of improvements. That's why I would compare Revelations with Brotherhood and 2.
Yeah.
Story-wise, not as memorable or good, but they had a lot of really new gameplay elements that were just great.
Well, it's like when I think back to, like, Assassin's Creed, to all the games, like, the two things that pop in mind is, one, Brotherhood, whenever you're scaling the fucking the tower to go spy on the Borgias, which is awesome as shit.
I love the
music
that plays off.
It's fun as hell. And then the other thought is, in Revelations, when you're doing the entire carriage scene where you're trying to climb up the rope on the back.
I've not played yet.
No worry, it has.
I've not played yet.
But it's just, Revelations is a lot more of a cinematic, engrossing game with a lot of stuff you got to do. And they try to implement a lot of new things, like the carriage chase, you know, scene is fantastic.
I still think Assassin's Creed 2 is one of the best sequels this generation, and that's because they literally fixed, like, every complaint with 1, and then they even addressed things that we didn't realize we didn't like.
Yeah.
I loved 1. That was the first game I played that really felt really next-gen with this generation.
Yeah.
Just a great game, but...
Well, 1 just
got
into the... Yes, the repetitiveness is what...
It took me, like, a year to beat that, just because I play it a lot for a day and be like, okay, can't do this, and I'd play something else, and... But...
But, yeah, I mean... I'm happy that it's the original team coming back to do 3, which is, you know, the other team took over and did the side games for Brotherhood and Revelations and all that, which is fine. And I wouldn't mind seeing more from them with the side stuff. I'm a little bored with Ezio.
I loved him at first, and 2, he was phenomenal. But yeah, I did kind of...
In Part 3, I actually liked Ezio better in Part 3 because he was old and bitter and he was an asshole.
I liked how old he looked in Revelations. Like, this guy's old as hell, and he's just killing people and jumping off buildings.
Well, like that trailer they did, which is in the game, so it's not a spoiler, but the trailer where they show him actually at the original Assassin's Tower.
Mos IF.
Yeah, they've got him with the noose on his neck about to throw him off the side. Like, that entire scene in the game is just fucking awesome as hell when you get to play. You're like, oh, this is cool, and he looks all gray, and he's just pissed off. He's like, I'm going to kill it.
I love really cinematic trailers that come out, like, right before release. They just get you really pumped for it. Well, the Halo 4 ones have been great.
Well, like Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, when they had the entire Lone Assassin go up in the crowd of people.
Yeah.
And attack, and then he just puts his hand up and, like, fucking arrows and shit and all the other. That was kick ass.
I actually accidentally, like, you're killing your main target. I've accidentally bumped the bumper before, and, like, it would just cut to the scene because the assassins, you call them, would just kill him. Like, oops. I didn't really want to do it like that, but okay, it's done.
Yeah, but whenever they started bringing in stuff like real estate and beautifying the city and restoring
crime, it worked, but it felt like a little too much.
It felt like something to kind of keep your attention focused on something else for a while, and it did. You know, it's like I buy every fucking property and just do everything so that way I'm just making tons of fucking cash to where I'm just making ridiculous amounts of fucking
money. I had friends that would just, like, buy a bunch of stuff and, like, just leave their... leave their game on all day while they're gone.
Yeah, that's what I did. Whenever I get about halfway through the game, I just fucking leave it on and go to work and come back and just have a fuck ton of cash and be like, alright, buy everything else and then leave it on while I sleep. Have all my money.
I kind of wish they would have did like how Fable 2 did it. Fable 2, you get money even if it wasn't on. You
come
back and, oh, here's all your money.
Yeah, I actually went to go and turn, because, yeah, I don't like Fable 1 very much, and Fable 3 kind of pissed me off, but I really like Fable 2. And I went back to go check on my account for getting that, there was a snafu where my Fable 2 was on a external drive and got deleted, the save file for it on Xbox. So I was kind of pissed off because I would have had quite a bit of cash. And I was going to go and give it away. Because people do that kind of like when I first started playing that game, I logged on and some guy just gave me like $1 million. He was like, "Here you go,
Peter." I'm gonna butcher his name, but Peter Malinuk, whatever, from Head of Lionhead, he actually left Microsoft because he was so frustrated because they actually completely chopped and rushed their development for 3.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it because Microsoft, that's one of their big cash cows. But I mean, when you're rushing a game and then people wonder why it's bad, you're automatically going to put your finger at the developer, but a lot of times it's the publisher that does that.
Yeah.
Well, the whole on Rails version for the Kinect one.
Oh, Journeys?
Yeah.
I was excited about that because I was like, we might finally have a good Kinect game, but the reviews are...
Well, it just kind of strays away from the whole, you know, open world of Fable, though.
Well, originally they were like, it's not going to be on Rails. It's just on Rails for this demo. And then
it seems like Oregon.
Yeah, yeah, like, sure. Sure thing.
Yeah, and then it ends up being on Rails anyway. They're like, okay, it's going to be on Rails, but you can still do magic. Just, you got to be really precise with what you're doing.
I think the Kinect's got a lot of potential, but seriously, every single game they've made, even like the better Kinect games that they have, they all seem like tech demos to me.
Yeah, well, to be honest, I mean, it kind of is a demo bit of hardware, and the stuff I've seen for the new Kinect for the next, you know, gen system looks a lot better with what they have coming in for the cameras and everything, and the thermal lens where they're going to be able to do fingertips straight down. And I mean, when you look at, I know that they're tapping into some of the other software that's going to be coming out
with
Smart Glass, as well as the new computer thermal imaging where you can actually pick up three-dimensional objects, and they're going to start using stuff like that. So I think that the next generation of Kinect is going to be like 10 times better and actually be what they want it to be. Plus, they're talking about doing that entire 3D immersive environments.
Not too big on that, but it's neat.
I really don't know what to expect from that.
If they can get that on the level where I can play Fear on it.
I'm just a bit worried. I don't want them to get rid of my controller. Yeah. I'd like to keep that. I think the best examples of the Kinect being used are Mass Effect 3 and Skyrim, though.
Yeah,
they didn't even mess with the video. They were just to use the voice.
Yeah, just use the voice to command people. And my only problem is sometimes Liara doesn't want to take cover, and I just want to kick her in the fucking head. But she's the only, for some reason, she's the only one who doesn't like to do what I tell her to do.
She's a woman.
Yeah,
that's a woman.
Yeah. So, and I love Mass Effect 3, and that's one of the reasons I picked up the Kinect, was just for that.
Yeah, GameStop actually had a promotion when that came out. Like, if you buy this, the Kinect was like 25% off or something.
Yeah, I bought it from a friend who was selling there, so they just bought it, and they were like, we don't want it. So I was like, I'll buy it. Fuck. You know, so. But it's, and that's about the only game I used it for. The other times I just use it for Netflix.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. You know,
I think that's the best feature of it, though, actually, is the voice. That's not utilized enough, but it's great.
Well, there was a game like Binary Domain that came out and that utilized headphone as well as Kinect, if I remember. It went with, like, the Ghost Recon, not the last one, the one before. They had a voice command through headphone, and they had that on Binary Domain, but I think it also worked with Kinect, and that was kind of the way it worked, in that works really well, and that when you're playing the game, it actually picks up on what you're doing, so if you swear, the characters around you recognize that you swear, and they tell you that you don't do that.
That's awesome.
They're like, you know, it's like, I understand the severity of the situation, sir, but please, you know, control yourself. And you can tell them to charge and do other stuff and to help you if you get knocked down. And that worked really well. Plus, you can give them compliments or yell at them. Yeah, and that works pretty well. And it was kind of really fun when you go to your little French robot guy and call him a faggot. It's not because he looked gay, it's just he kept pissing me off. So
I always liked how for the Gears of War games, excuse me, I always liked for the Gears of War games how a lot of people thought the language that was kind of like over the top and ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I actually saw a video with Cliffy B talking with, I forgot what media it was, but they was talking about how they actually took actual footage from the Army and Marines talking to each other, and they took that.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, that's how they actually talk. And everybody's like, no, they do.
Yeah.
That's how they talk.
Yeah. At the same time, Cliffy B is a hell of a character.
I love Cliffy B. Kind of sad that he stepped down.
Yeah. I know. I mean, Epic Games, I'm kind of interested to see, like, Fortnite that they're working on. That looks kind of interesting.
I wouldn't mind another Unreal Tournament game.
Yeah, actually, I remember I got some news, like, several months ago that involved Unreal Tournament. They were talking about it, about doing a respawn. That'll be kind of interesting to see if they actually go through with it. And then we've got the new Doom 4, which is another throwback. Yeah, great
Very
stuff.
Very excited about that.
Very interested to see what they do with that. With because Rage was kind of a prelude to what they're going to bring into it graphic-wise. And Rage was actually a really good-looking game.
I think Rage was advertised wrong. I think that's why it didn't sell as well. They kind of sold it to some audience as an RPG, some audience as a shooter, and it's like, no, it's kind of a...
It's
and with it being connected with Bethesda, a lot of people went into it kind of blindly expecting a Fallout-type game, and it's like, no, they're just the publisher.
It's like, it was one of those things where you look at it and you think Borderlands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
you
see that it's Bethesda attached to it, so you think Fallout Borderlands. And people are going in, and also you pick it up and it's like a 3-disc game. Yeah, you know, and you're like, wow, okay, there's a lot of content here. You pop it in, and the first half is, you know, first disc is reasonably long, the second disc is like that, real short. And so a lot of people were a little pissed off at the length, because they were like, it could have been for that many discs, come on. And what's the third disc? You know, go-kart racing.
That always kind of rubbed me the wrong way. Like, it's id Software. They created Wolfenstein, Doom, Quake.
Yeah.
And then you're going to make another shooter, and you're going to put multiplayer on that. It's just racing.
Yeah, it's just good. Well, they have the Tales, the Lost Tales one, where you could go back and play through.
Well, I mean, but I'd like some...
Other than that, though.
Some shooter.
Yeah.
I mean, it's id Software. I would have...
Yeah. Like, at least, like, Deathmatch or
something,
something that was actually, like, actually playing the game a little bit more open, you know, with just different co-op stuff. And it's kind of a letdown. The go-kart thing was fun for about 10 minutes, and then after that, it's like, all right, I've already kicked everybody's ass, I'm done. Because it's not really hard, you know.
Yeah.
Just grab as many meteors as you can and just keep fucking going. And it's boring. It's like, Tron multiplayer was actually funner.
it was exciting seeing it run at 60 frames per second. I'm sure that was kind of tough for them to pull off, but...
It looked good.
I remember when Rage came out, I was playing Halo Reach multiplayer and whatnot still, and the frame rate being much lower, it was very noticeable going back and forth.
Yeah, but...
That's something else to Doom 3 remake. That's actually at 60 frames per second.
Yeah. But it's like, as a good prelude for what they're going to be coming out with Doom 4, it stands up as that, and just about that alone, in my opinion. Rage, it was fun for the first playthrough, but I wouldn't go back and play it again.
You know, I ran into that same issue, like, with the Diablo 3 coming out. I just, I can't sit down and play another playthrough of it.
I haven't even beaten it, and I still can't go back to it, because I'm a little let down with some of the... I mean, number one, they Warcrafted.
Yeah.
Yeah, which kind of pissed me off. They took out a lot of the things I loved from Diablo 2 when it came to the skills and everything, and they just really plain Jane nerfed the skill trees. Just made it real, it's not very versatile as to what you can do. And you're like, I really can't spec anything. I just kind of, this is unlocked, throw it down there, okay, let's see how well this does. No, okay, go back to one that I got, you know, 10 hours ago that does better.
Yep.
You know, it's nothing really fancy. And it just bored the shit out of me. Like, hardcore bored the shit out of me, so I haven't even gone back to finish it. So.
You mentioned Warcraft kind of getting into your Diablo 3. I think that's kind of interesting, because I feel like there's a couple of games that have come out more recently this generation that have kind of sold really well, and because of that, other developers try to put a little bit of that into their game.
Yeah.
And I noticed that with Resident Evil 6, it's a good game, but I kind of feel like somebody spilled a little bit of Call of Duty in my Resident Evil, and maybe a little bit of...
Yeah.
I've joked to my friends and I've called Resident Evil 6 Gears of Dead Space. I mean, it's a great game, but...
Yeah.
Everybody in my house wants to know why I'm not playing 6, and I'm like, I want to play Resident Evil games. I'm going to play Resident Evil 1.
For me, it was like, I enjoyed the story. The gameplay actually slightly irritated me, because I'm fine with QuickTime events, but when you're throwing them up there, like, really fast, and they're only up there for, like, a second, some of them, especially when you're playing, what's his name? Wesker's kid. There's a...
Jake.
Yeah, Jake, when you're doing the motorcycle scene stuff. There's a lot of shit just comes flying up really fast, and you're, like, engrossed in the graphics, and all of a sudden, you get your head cut off by a fucking low-hanging pole, and you're like, what the fuck happened? And that really got irritating. And I know that once you beat it, you can turn off the QuickTime events, and it just defaults and gives you the correct choices, but it's just kind of like, eh, that always feels like cheating. But when it came to Warcraft bleeding into Diablo, my biggest problem was, you know, Warcraft, you know, I used to play the old Warcraft games. And Diablo always kind of had its own thing that kind of stood apart, and they built on that. And they never really crossed the boundaries too often. But now they've kind of started doing that. And to be honest with you, Warcraft is such a huge fucking letdown nowadays of what they've done to it. They turned into, like, this complete nerfed out piece
Kung Fu
of shit.
Panda.
Yeah, Kung Fu Panda. What the fuck? They destroyed it. They destroyed it. They screwed up the skill trees so much that it doesn't really take any time to get used to the game or to understand it. You can just run in and start doing whatever the hell you want now. And, like, they're trying to, you know, bring in... Of course, they're trying to bring in younger players always, but it's just they made it so easy. And I remember back when it was like you actually had to learn your World of Warcraft in order to play it. Otherwise, you held up the whole party and screwed everybody up. You know,
way back pre-BC.
Well, yeah, it's like, you know, you'd always get that hunter in your group who doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. He wouldn't leash his pet. And next thing you know, you have like 20 angry mobs like freaking coming after you. And you're like, way to go, dickface. You just killed us all.
It's happening with a lot of games, I feel, in an effort to kind of get more and more players, essentially more money. The franchise, in a way, gets hoarded out. And I think it's happening with a lot of series. I've never been that big in Call of Duty, but I have seen that happen with Call of Duty last few releases. And I'm actually happy Bungie's gone from Halo, because I feel like they went into it with a pure heart and kind of got off track.
Well, they wanted to get out for a while, and now they're off. I think they're doing that project with Blizzard still, was what they originally wanted to do, yeah.
But, I mean...
Which one?
They're supposed to be doing some new first-person shooter, new universe game with
the Project Titan?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what they're...
Okay, I didn't know they were actually in on that.
Yeah, I think they're actually finally working on it with them. So, which I'm actually interested to see, because Bungie is actually very creative.
Oh, I love Bungie. Yeah. I just feel like... I don't know, Halo 3 was kind of let down for me. I feel like they went on a high note, because I liked Reach a lot.
Yo, Reach was... Halo
I love
3
Reach.
Was,
I wasn't that big on Halo 3. Yeah. I just stuck to Halo 2. Mm-hmm. I've been following Halo 4 very closely, and it looks very good. I'm really happy with it.
It looks good, but at the same time, I'm kind of nervous because it's, it's, you know, 343 Industries, if that is their name.
Yeah.
It's 343 Industries, Guilty Spark. And what they've provided us before Halo 4 just did not impress me very much. If I remember, they were involved with Halo Wars.
I don't think, no, actually 343, they helped with map packs, I believe, before.
The map packs, yeah, but I think they were also involved, like, a few of the guys that are doing it were part of the team that did Halo Wars, and Halo Wars was probably one of the biggest piss-offs I've ever fucking
Well, that
seen.
Was actually, that made me mad too, but Microsoft really screwed that up, because that actually wasn't a Halo game at first. It was actually supposed to be, like, they went into it with I forgot what it was going to be, but I don't think we even really found out, but it was going to be its own universe, separate from Halo, and Microsoft kind of shoehorned Halo in its last second.
Yeah.
And they showed up, hey, put Halo in this, and they were like...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's not even the fact that it was Halo. I don't even care about that. It's just the game fucking blew me out.
Yeah.
The way it played, everything like that. And then there's also the comics, which I'm not a really big fan of. The comics always kind of irritate the shit out of me. Halo Reach, though, for Bungie, I liked it because it's kind of a fuck you letter at the end as well. When you look at it, they, like for instance, they do Reach, and they start bringing in things that you've never fucking seen before in Halo ever. And they're like, well, you know, here, deal with this. And you're like, oh, that's pretty sweet. So, for what they're doing with Halo 4, I'm trying to remember. I remember whenever Scott was on the show.
Did you play the Halo 1 remake?
No, I actually skipped it. Because I was just like...
343 did that. It's really
good. Yeah, I remember that was the first sentence. And actually, I remember I called that one because we were trying to figure out what they were going to do since Bungie had kind of left and that was in them. I was like, oh, they'll probably start remaking the series. And that was the first thing they fucking did.
They announced they weren't going to do a remake of 2, though.
Yeah.
Everybody... Some people threw a fit, but they said they were kind of doing the celebration of Halo 1. They weren't going to remake all the games, which I'm surprised Microsoft hasn't had them do that.
Yeah. Well, if they did, they'd sell every fucking copy of it. They know that. But, I don't know. But with Halo 4, I'm just kind of like, yeah, we'll see. Because Halo Reach, I have to admit, was probably one of the, like, ultimate Halo games ever.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's actually, I mean, gameplay-wise, yeah, it's better than 4, obviously. Sorry, Part 1, sorry, because that's old. They brought a lot more new stuff into it. Halo 2 was not one of my favorite games.
I liked how they brought the med packs back. I'm actually not a big fan of, oh, you got shot in the face, just lay down for a second, you're good.
Yeah.
I'm not too big on that.
No, but Halo 2 is kind of a screw-up in the way they introduced a few, like, the brutes and stuff like that. Halo 3, bored the shit out of me, except for a few key parts to it. Like, the Scorpions were actually, like, not the Scorpions, what they call the Scarabs, sorry.
Yeah.
Were actually really fucking kick-ass. That was cool. And then Halo Reach came out. I was not to take that back. ODST came out, which I actually loved ODST.
Oh, I loved that.
Because it was such a nice, soft jazz excursion out to the side.
I liked the storytelling, too.
Yeah. Yeah,
just find
really
somebody's
nice.
Helmet, and then he'd see what happened, and you play through it. It was great.
Yeah, it was really nice. It was a nice character piece, which was something you didn't really see too often.
And it introduced Firefly, which I'm a big fan
of
Firefly.
Yeah, and that's one of my favorite things. And we used to play ODST, like, freaking every goddamn weekend. We would do that shit and just try and get par on every map, every setting. And it was me, Scott, Justin, and usually our friend Dennis, who's off in New Zealand. And then they came out with Reach, which I was kind of like, I'll see if I like it, because the stories have kind of let me down so far, other than ODST. I was blown away. It's like the epitome of, horrors of war? You know, like,
I would say Reach is my favorite Halo.
Yeah.
I was very impressed by it.
Oh, yeah. It actually like gets at you too, like, you know, watching all these people that you're going through squads with and all this crap, and watching everyone.
And going into it, you know, this
yeah.
plan, you're,
yeah, you
know,
know
everybody's
all
gonna
fucked.
Die.
You know,
it was still
fucked,
a good game.
But you get to see the individual sacrifice of every person you've been with just so Reach, you know, lasts, and you're just like, you really get into it. And because of that, it was a lot more personal and intense than like Halo 1, 2, and 3 had ever been. And that was good, like a good like love letter, like goodbye. So from dear John.
Something I liked about ODST was you couldn't just charge in there. You weren't Master Chief.
Mm.
I liked that a lot, because when I first started playing it, I was playing how I'd play my normal Halo game, and like, oh, I keep dying.
Yeah.
I can't do it like this.
Yeah, I tried that a couple times, and during firefight and crap, I'll still and matchmaking, I'll still pull the Master Chief stuff, and it works sometimes because some players aren't as good as NPCs. So. But now, Firefight on Halo Reach was definitely badass as well. They did a really good job, especially with opening it up so you can kind of create your own stuff. Now, Rocket Fight is still fantastic as shit.
What I usually play in Halo Reach now is it comes with the Halo 1 Anniversary Edition, or you can just buy it. But the Anniversary Map Pack, I love that so much. Being able to play on Hang 'em High and a lot of like Beaver Creek and all those maps with the Magnum being back and all that, the scope.
Fantastic.
I love killing all the people that didn't play one when it was, you know, like, I guess younger kids who don't understand the power of that pistol.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, I got a shotgun. I don't care. I have a pistol. Yeah. Like, I can kill you with this in two hits.
Well, see, it's like, I like the map packs that they did put out for Reach with Defiant and Noble. Noble was really fun. Defiant, there was, they started kind of favoring snipers a lot.
Yeah.
And the Defiant one. Because there was the... I can't remember, is it High Plains or something like that map that's just this straight freaking shot down to this refinery area?
You can't walk anywhere.
One team here, one team there, yeah, and you're pretty much screwed all the way across, because you get people who would jetpack up to the top of the silos and they're just sniping the shit out of one team the entire time. It's fucking almost impossible to get through.
I can't remember which map it is, but there was a map in Reach, and for the first like 6 months, year, I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
It was great because you could jetpack up above the exterior and like float around in space, and you could fight up there, which was really fun. And they did an update, and if you went up there, it gave you the return to battlefield message, or you could die, and I was killed that map for me.
That sucks.
It was fun going to that.
Well, I remember they had the, shit, I can't remember the name of it now. It was the Covenant dropship one, where you could, where you're actually inside of it, and you could go through the two air tunnels that would shoot you out into the exterior.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you go up there, and of course you start running out of, you know, oxygen and crap, but it's a fun place just to slow-mo kill the shit out of people.
Yeah.
It's fun as hell. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, I was a big fan of the Noble map pack. Defiant was good, but Noble was really
good. Noble was the best. It was really good. But yeah, but it's like when you were talking about people making games easier, like I was referencing Warcraft, like even a game like Dark Souls, which is made to be extremely fucking hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not as hard as people make it. I mean, I've beaten it, and I'm already halfway through my second, you know, my new game plus. I just haven't picked it back up, and I was nowhere to a point where I actually, not to the back, I'd reached the four kings that I had to take out at the end, and he was whipping the shit out of me, but I just needed to save him for last and go for the other ones. That was the only problem I was having. But now they're talking about doing the easy mode.
Yeah.
That
bothered me.
Fuck that is so stupid. The point of the game is to be hard as shit.
You don't have to play easy mode, though.
I know, but it sucks that, you know what?
Well, because that was the game's thing. This game can be hard.
Yeah. It was Prepare to Die Edition, number one for PC. The front box of fucking, like, was it, the Xbox One says Prepare to Die a lot. You know, because that was the whole point. You were going to get your ass kicked playing this game. Demon's Souls was the same fucking way. you know, it was actually Dark Souls was a little bit easier than Demon's Souls because it made more sense. And you could, you know, didn't do the entire gray and like light and black, sorry, white and black transitions of the world to make things different for you based on if you, you know, when you die, how many times you die. They took all that out and just basically made it very straightforward. This is what you're doing. And certain paths are only open if you're dead. Certain paths are only open if you're alive. Certain paths are only open if you're in light or if you're in dark. And they took all that crap out and just made this really nice, classic RPG-style game that just made you want to fucking slit your throat every once in a while. But it was fun.
I do feel like a lot of developers are holding their hands much more. And since I've, I mean, I think I'm younger than you guys, but I've been playing games since, you know, I was a kid in the 90s, and you go back and play old games. I'm a big fan of games like Super Meat Boy, because that's how games used to be. You have all these kids talking shit, acting like they're better than you, and it's like, have you played Ghosts and Goblins?
Yeah.
Have you played Mega Man?
Golden Axe, Ghosts and Goblins.
Have you played Comic Zone?
Yeah.
You lost damage in that game if you fucking punched something.
Yeah.
So you want to put a kid to the real test, give him the old Mega Man 1.
Yeah.
And see how you get through those jump levels.
Give him Smurfs and see if he can jump over that wood fucking spiked wall.
Yeah, but you have all these kids that...
I know somebody feels like... I remember one night we were really drunk trying to play that after like 15 years, and we're sitting there trying to just get over this fucking wooden spiked wall, and we kept dying over and over again. It's like, how do we do this as kids? I don't remember.
We just had more
time
patience.
Reaction times.
Yeah, it's reaction times. But now it's like... all those classic games that you go back into, and games that really didn't give you any hint as to what you were doing, like Rise of the Dragon for PC and Sega CD. You just like to tell you, oh, hey, you know, bug this guy's apartment. You go down there and fry yourself like 20 times before you finally realize, okay, this goes there, that goes there, that goes there. But you fucking fry yourself to death over and over again. You don't get games like that anymore for console. You'll get them on PC as indie games, which is great, like Super Meat Boy. And,
I liked Fez a lot too. I don't know if you guys have played that. That was very refreshing to be able to play that.
Yeah.
That's why I like a lot of the, if you go back and play like the original Legend of Zelda, I mean, yeah, you can get an online guide and you can think you're good, but playing that for the first time, if anybody did that, I mean, they didn't tell you anything. Here's your sword, have fun.
Yeah, exactly. It's like going up against the Hydra.
And that's bothered me with a lot of Nintendo's games in the recent years, because I'm not. Nintendo's not my favorite. I'm more into Xbox, but I do like the classic first-party Nintendo franchises, and they just force tutorials on you and just hold your hand the entire time, and it's just so irritating.
Well, it's like Metroid, the original Metroid.
They didn't,
Sucked. It sucked because you had to figure out which type of weapon would open up which type of bubble door. You know, because you had different types, and you just have to shoot at it with every new weapon you got to see if it opened up. When it did, you're like, okay, so I go in here.
Yeah, now they're already color-coded. They tell you everything.
They're color-coded. Which I'm not going to bitch on that too much, because, like, Metroid Prime, probably one of the best fucking reboots for anything. It was a fantastic game. First-person shooter was awesome as shit. Visually, audio-wise, had a great soundtrack and just, you know, great stuff. It was really fucking
awesome. Wish Nintendo showed Metroid more love. It's not going to sell as well as Mario or Zelda, but at the same time, they'll get a team of 10 million people to work on a Mario game for 3 years, same with Zelda. But Metroid, they usually kind of like, let this third-party people develop it, whatever.
Yeah, it's kind of blows.
I would pay $60 for a brand-new side-scroller Metroid.
Yeah.
I love Metroid Fusion, but comparing that to Super Metroid, it's a lot like it, but they tell you exactly where to go everywhere, which I love that about Super Metroid, because, like, where do I go now?
Yeah.
And in Fusion, it's like, oh, you need to go here. Here, we'll highlight the map. It's flashing. You need this item to get there. That's over here. And that kind of, you know, bothered me.
Well, it's like games like Kid Icarus, you know, which I remember playing Kid Icarus when I was, like, you know, a kid. And fucking one of my favorite games. And then they announced they're going to re-release Kid Icarus. It's like, oh, really? You're going to do a whole revamp of the series? I'm totally excited. Not what I thought they were going to do. So, anyway, I was a little let down. I was like, really? You're going to take Kid Icarus, you're going to do it this way, and to be honest, the graphics really aren't too big of an improvement. I mean, you're doing Nintendo, like, you know, your default Mario shit with it. Do something new, do something better with that, like something along the lines of Metroid, where Kid Icarus would have been great, but they didn't, so fuck it.
I am a fan of what Nintendo's trying to do, though. Like, the best example would be, like, their new Super Mario Brothers games, how they are... You know, if you want to play, like, the newer style of Mario, here's Galaxy or whatever. But if you want to play the old stuff, hey, check this out. I wish more games would do that.
Yeah.
Because that's actually pretty neat. If you want to play it this original style, we got that. If you want to play like this, we got that, too.
Well, it's like, you know, with something like Resident Evil, you really can't do that approach.
Yeah.
Unless you're doing, like, two separate games, at which point you have the diehard fans you know, bitching because there's people who are like, well, I like the way it's gone now with the action, you know, horror rather than survival horror, but I'm going to miss out on 8 hours of story because I don't want to play the old, you know, fixed camera angles fucking, you know, bullshit. So they can't get away with that. Luckily, with Mario, there really isn't a story. So,
yeah. I would like them to kind of do, and I mean, some people might disagree, but I'm sure a lot of people would agree. I would like them to do a revamp of Resident Evil, though, because it's just not Resident Evil anymore.
Yeah, well, that was the, kind of the point. Like, we had this discussion a couple weeks ago whenever Part 6 came out, and we were talking about it, and I said, well, Resident Evil 4 paved the way for games like Dead Space.
Oh, 4 is so good.
Yeah, and it basically paved the way for games like Dead Space and where Silent Hill kind of went to. Because Silent Hill started off in kind of the same roots as Resident Evil just years later. You know, using the fixed camera angles as well as following, you know, camera angles. And evolved into this great third-person, over-the-shoulder kind of game. They both went the same logical evolution of where they were going. Resident Evil, though, kept the story kind of the way it is. Silent Hill, unfortunately, as much as I love the first four games, kind of went the way of shit. So I haven't played Downpour yet, but
yeah,
everything I've read just trashed the hell out of it. And I'm usually not one to.
I
really
would have let you. Would have let you borrow it.
Yeah, I know. So I'll end up renting it eventually. But it really makes me mad to watch a game series like Silent Hill. You know, which I got freaking Silent Hill 3 sitting right over there. It's because it's one of my favorites. Go to complete crap, and you don't hear the newer fans, the newer kids bitching too much about the story.
Well, they don't know how good it used to be.
Yeah, they don't know how creepy
right.
that used to be when you were younger, and the graphics didn't look outdated because it was fresh and brand new to you, and there's this gigantic moth thing that you're fighting in a fog. It's fucking creepy as shit.
Yeah.
And part 5 Homecoming, which wasn't incredibly bad, it was just okay. You got this weird-ass fucking centipede human thing. You know, that was actually pretty cool. But the story just went to shit, and that was the big part of Silent Hill, was it just creeped you out with the story, with what's going on, and, like, Part 5 did a good job of making you choose, like, killing your mother, killing your father. Sorry, killing your mother, forgiving your father, or damning him for everything he did. Silent Hill Origins tried to kind of do the same thing in that one, and it was that kind of weird choices that kind of threw in the game with the completely fucking... Wow, there's people like grunting around us.
I'll say Silent Hill speaking.
Yeah. I know, I was just like, what the fuck was that? But
Game Informers kind of teased Resident Evil by saying they can kind of keep getting away with doing whatever. I mean, they could have unicorn zombies that can fly.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
they could be
yeah.
like, oh, the virus evolved again.
Yeah, it's a U virus, a unicorn virus.
Well,
so.
I mean, they've even kind of compared it to some. Media outlets have kind of almost said they're on the way of Pokemon.
Yeah.
Every time they make a new game, they're like, oh, and here's a new virus.
Yeah. I don't mind that so much. Like, you know, in Part 4 we had the Las Plagas, which was a great storyline. I enjoyed that.
4 is my favorite. 4 is just great.
Yeah, yeah.
4.
And that was the Las Plagas with the whole parasite, you know, and that gets into the body gestates, takes over. Great. Yeah, that was awesome. In Part 5, you brought Chris Redfield back and you had Tricell get involved because Umbrella was gone. And you really had to kind of read in between the games to find out the backstory for each, you know, leading up to each game, because they covered it in that, but the games just kind of throw you in, and Part 5 really didn't have a whole lot of backstory for you until they brought out, like, the DLCs, like, I think it was the Lost Memory or whatever it's called with
that
with Jill. Yeah. And that's fantastic. And then Part 6, yeah, they brought in the C-Virus, or the Crystal Virus, basically, because things take on this kind of crystal, you know, metamorphosis stage that they go through before they hatch, and I didn't mind it so much. I was like, well, at least they have a system, you know. It's like, it might be the alphabet, but
I don't really care what they do. I just hate to see the gameplay continually. I mean, it's not even the same genre anymore.
Yeah,
I mean, if the next Call of Duty was an RPG, everybody would throw a fucking fit.
Yeah.
And yet Capcom is just casually, not even that casual, it was pretty abrupt with 5 actually. It went from survival horror to third-person shooter.
Yeah.
I mean...
Well, it's like Resident Evil 6, the closest thing to what you used to have with Resident Evil 4, or even the survival horror, was Leon's campaign.
Yeah.
And that was done purposely because it's fucking...
Which, that's a good way to do it.
Yeah, it was a little throwback for the fans who really liked Resident Evil 4. It's just, I wish they would have kept it more in that, because when you first start out in the capital, and you're walking around, it's like empty fucking mansion, just like in all the other Resident Evil games. and it's just creepy shit going on, noises, lightning, all that crap. It was fucking fun. Then you're in the elevator, which was a great scene. I enjoyed that a lot. That was all great. When you're playing Chris's campaign, which was aimed more towards the Call of Duty and Gears of War people, with, you know, the first two missions are pretty much just all like your typical military third-person shooter run-through, breaching, going in, clearing out apartment buildings, and then it starts to get into the actual story. And then Jake's was actually not too bad. I enjoyed that. It was pretty fun. And then the hidden character, which everybody knows by now, was because they actually started showing her on the commercials now, Ada Wong, which is what I guessed it would end up being. And it was. And I actually enjoyed hers, because hers was stealth. You start off in a sub, and you can either go stealth mode or just kill every motherfucker in the place. I like that they gave you the option there, which was kind of nice.
I've got no real complaints with the new Resident Evils, but I do feel like Capcom's kind of lost their direction a little bit. They don't really know what they're doing. Like, okay, I have to make a new one. What do we do?
Yeah.
If you get a chance, I don't know if you probably haven't got a chance to play Revelations for the 3DS.
No.
That was actually phenomenal. It actually feels like they did a really good job with that, similar to Leon's campaign and Chris's in 6. There's two different campaigns in that, and you kind of go back and forth, and one of them's more, you're on a wrecked cruise liner ship, and it's creepy as shit. And then you've got Chris's campaign, it's way more like 5.
Yeah.
So that was kind of neat, because you went back and forth, but that's a good way for them to kind of do what Nintendo does with the Mario games, I think.
See, when I look at the way that they actually did Resident Evil 6, and they have it separated into different campaigns where you choose, I kind of wish that they would have done a, you know, Pulp Fiction back and forth, where you're playing one person for a little bit, then switches over to a different campaign, because they all kind of coincide here and there, and that would have been nice, because you actually kind of lose time frame. You kind of lose your time reference every once in a while. Chris's is the longest campaign of all, like, not in time of gameplay, but it goes beyond everybody else's to the very, very end, and everybody else's ends pretty much before that. And when you're first playing it, you kind of lose your your point of time where you're in, because he actually has flashbacks. He goes through, I think, the entire second chapter is a flashback, and then the third chapter is when he comes back, and you're just, you know, it's really easy to kind of lose your place as to where you are in the scope of Resident Evil 6's story, not so much the backstory. Even Jake, I think there's like 6 months that passes by that you don't really notice at first how long they're gone. And whenever they finally come back to where, whenever they finally come back into the actual real world gameplay, it's like they weren't even gone. Because everything's kind of right where it was left off. So it's like everything went on pause for 6 months while they were off, you know, fucking around. And that kind of got irritating a little bit. But had they done it in a Pulp Fiction style, I think it would have been kind of interesting to do it like that. Been fun. You're looking at me like, what?
They're balancing it well, but I feel like they should kind of turn around and look at how legendary their games used to be.
Oh, yeah.
They're still good, but I don't think anything's going to beat that.
Well, it's like
initial creepy.
Yeah.
What it was known for. That's why Capcom is who
they are. Well, it's like with Silent Hill. The creepiest Silent Hill game you'll ever play is Silent Hill 3. The last one, I mean. Silent Hill 2 had a really bunch of good fucking creep scenes with Pyramid Head. And, like, when you're at the hotel and the two Pyramid Heads just show up out of nowhere, and you're like, oh, fuck me, I have to fight these guys. And then they just fucking skewer each other on their fucking staffs right in the middle of the courtyard, and you're like, okay, what the fuck was that about? You're like, I don't know. I remember I was dating this one chick at the time, we were both playing, and she was like, oh shit, you're gonna get your ass kicked. I was like, don't talk to me right now. And then they skewered each other, and she was like,
wow, that's hot.
What the fuck? And I was like, Japanese people, dude, I don't fucking know. And part 3 had a lot of really great creep factors to it, but after that, it started to kind of not be creepy anymore. The creepiest thing about part 4 was the baby face bird things that you fight inside of the lighthouse level. Those were fucking weird as shit. After that, Resident Evil Origins really had nothing in it that was creepy. Resident Evil 5 had nothing that was creepy in it. It's all recycled shit from the previous games. Resident Evil Downpour, from what I saw, had a lot of recycled shit as well. Once again, they really weren't thinking of creating anything new. Resident Evil 3, Silent Hill 3, they had the guys with the giant club arms that walked around that were actually pretty fucking weird and really
awkward. I'd like to see some more Dino Crisis. I feel like they kind of forgot about that. I didn't forget about it.
Yeah, I still have Dino
Crisis. I thought it was a great game.
Yeah.
Those were fun.
Yeah. Yeah, time
I mean, they could kind of quit beating the crap out of Resident Evil and just kind of beating it to a pulp, and they could kind of give it a break and
do
a good maybe just another good Dino Crisis game.
Well, Capcom sits on the copyrights for a lot of stuff that they don't even do shit with. You know, it's like what they put on what was it? It's Capcom versus
SNK. Is it SNK?
No, it's like it's Capcom versus, I always forget the name of this goddamn, Capcom versus Tetsunugo or whatever, which had Kashana as one of the characters you could play as.
Right.
Yeah, and you know who Kashana is?
No.
Okay, back in the day, there was an anime called Kashana, and it was fantastic, it was a great thing, and they made a movie update that came out some time ago that I showed you part of, Kashana.
I don't remember.
The one with the giant robots, and he's like karate chops one straight down the middle.
Don't remember.
Either way, Kasher and Robot Hunter, which actually the new movie that came out had nothing to do with fucking robots, but they still call it Robot Hunter. And it's one of my favorite animes, also one of my favorite newer like remake movies. It was live action. It came out at the time that Sky Captain World of Tomorrow came out, and they were utilizing that whole CGI background technology because they were the ones actually putting it together, and Sky Captain kind of tried to copy what they were doing and failed miserably at it because Sky Captain looks like shit. Casher looks fucking awesome. So, but it's a great movie, great story, and Kashana, the actual anime, is really fucking awesome. I'd like to actually see a Kashana video game. Would be nice to see. And Capcom has the ability to do it, but they won't.
I am really excited about it kind of got, I don't remember the details, I think it was when because of money, but it was kind of sad when it happened. But Oddworld Inhabitants hasn't been able to make a good game in a while.
Actually, I talked to them actually just a while ago.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, keep going.
I was a huge fan of the Oddworld games. Even as I played those as a kid, those games were just incredible. I love those games. And they're doing a remake of one, and it's going to be the new and tasty edition.
Yeah.
And they're using the same, I believe, the same engine, everything.
They're just doing 3D rendered stuff.
I was extremely excited about that. I was mad at Microsoft at first because it wasn't going to be able to be on Xbox because of their file size limit, but I believe that's been resolved.
Yeah, they have to.
I'm excited about that.
2 gig limit, so that's why Stranger's Wrath didn't get released. Because I was talking to Just Add Water quite some time ago about it whenever they were talking about doing the remake of Oddworld, because I have all of them. I love Oddworld. Abe's Odyssey, Exodus.
I wasn't too big on Munch's Odyssey.
Yeah, that was a little bit kind of.
But Abe's Exodus and Odyssey, those were
the side scroller ones were the best ones when they started going into first person and stuff, like with Stranger's Wrath. It was okay. It had some really cute stuff in it, like the animal ammo was.
Well, the original plan was. I'm hoping it still happens. I'm hoping that this re-release gets people excited and they.
Yeah, that's what he said they were trying to do, was to put it out. Get people interested again, get people talking about Oddworld again, and try and go for a new title, like a
hopefully
new release.
Side-scroller, but yeah, that'd be great. Because the original plan was to do a Quintology. They were going to do, like, 5 Odysseys, and then the Exoduses were going to be 5 of those as well, kind of like the bonus game, but the Oddworld games are great. Anybody who thinks Call of Duty and other modern games are hard hasn't played Oddworld, because those games are brutal.
Well, I like just, you know, you got to get these these little green bastards to follow you. Or do what you want them to. Mm-hmm. I want you to get them to, and you gotta slap them around when they get mad.
Oh, yeah,
You just fart, and they'll laugh, and then they're a friend again.
Or if they were depressed, and you smacked them, they just killed themselves.
Yeah. And it was fun as shit. And in the meantime, you got all these really hazardous things that really shouldn't be in a factory that's trying to kill them. And a really fun game. Fantastic story as well. with the Moo Dawkins and all that. Definitely one of my favorites. And it was a game that had a lot of character, too.
Great game.
Yeah.
I'd like to see more of those.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think what else they put that was really good.
I liked the Gluckens a lot, too.
Yeah.
Their voices were awesome. What are you doing? They were just awesome.
Yeah. They were fucking hilarious. But no, even the art style was just really unique for the game.
I saw something on G4, when I was a couple years ago. It was their little icon segments. They talked about whatever for 20 minutes, and it was Oddworld Inhabitants. It was really interesting because Lauren Lanning was just basically just, I think he was more into the movie aspect of things, and he actually just had a bunch of concept art and stuff drawn up, and he ended up getting with somebody, let's make a game, and he's like, oh, I have all these cool ideas, and then just happened,
yeah.
But
yeah, but it's like even what I was saying was like even the art style for Oddworld is just very unique, and you don't really see a whole lot. Like I think something that had as much character that came out was like Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet came out, and that had a really did you play that game at all?
I actually had a chance to play that.
Did you see it at all?
I've seen it.
It was I picked it up, and to be honest with you, it was like really fun. I didn't know if I was going to enjoy it, but it was really enjoyable. It was hilarious, and it was just really, really good art style and what they were doing that really gave the game a lot of personality. I think you watched me play a little bit of it. Yeah. And when I was playing it the entire time, I was like, the last time I played a game that was really basic but difficult that had this much personality was Oddworld. Yeah, because it's a very defined style as to what it was.
I get sad when I bring Oddworld up and everybody's like, what's that? Because, like, it's... Oh, those games are so good.
Dude, I used to have a Mudokon t-shirt. So, it's like, with fucking Abe on it. Mm. That's, like, one of my favorite fucking games. Sorry, I'm reminiscing. What?
Okay.
So,
go on.
But, yeah.
Carry on.
That's one of my favorites. Now, since, yeah, none of us really played a whole lot of games this week because we've been so busy.
I've been playing a lot, but I've mostly just been playing older games, so
yeah.
Doom 3.
Have you been looking at any of the Colonial Marines, Aliens stuff?
It looks interesting. I've been reading about it, but I haven't really gotten to play it yet.
Yeah.
I'm a little, which you guys continue to have me, I can talk about this quite a bit if you guys are wanting to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of holding back on a lot of game releases that I want to get because I'm picking up a Wii U and the Zombie U game, and of course I'm going to get Mario. I'm a big side-scroller Mario fan.
Yeah.
And I just think the Wii U's got a lot of potential, so...
The Wii U has a lot of potential, I'm just waiting to see. My biggest...
I don't like the name, because it actually has, like, nothing to do with the Wii.
Yeah.
And a lot of people kind of felt like Nintendo kind of fucked them dry with the Wii.
Yeah.
And it's... I don't know, I wish they would use a different name, because it's much, much, much different from the Wii.
Well, there were some great titles that came out on Wii. Like,
oh, there's
a lot of great first-party games. Yeah,
there's
some great titles like No More Heroes 1 and 2 are fantastic
Mad
games.
World.
Mad World, another great one.
And actually, that was the first... I originally played Resident Evil 4 on the Wii. It's great.
Yeah. And
I always kind of felt like, well, I'd be more forgiving with bad Wii games, because I was like, maybe it's just hard to make good controls for this, but
yeah.
I played Resident Evil 4, and I was like, no.
If you want to see a Resident Evil 4 controller, I'll show you Resident Evil 4.
Oh, is it the chainsaw
one? Yeah, I have the chainsaw
awesome.
One. Yeah, I have it on my bookshelf in there. Yeah, it's for PlayStation.
Yeah, I asked my mom for one of those, and she rolled her eyes and said no.
Yeah. Well, what happened, I was actually in Vintage Stock the other week. I don't even have a PlayStation 2. You know, I don't have one anymore. And I was in Vintage Stock, and I just saw it, and I was like, $20. I was like, hey, you were with me. I was just like,
well, you didn't know if you wanted to get that or if you wanted to get...
Yeah, that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had an old AT-AT.
Well, no, there was another one.
Oh, no, they had the Outer Limits.
Yeah.
I like to collect a lot of figures and movie props and stuff, and they had some of the Outer Limits figures they had put out from the old series, and they had a couple of them up on the very top shelf. I couldn't tell which ones they were. So, and I really didn't... It was like 18 feet up, and I was just like, screw getting anybody over here, I'm just going to get this. So
I'm hoping that I don't know if you guys got to play it. I'm assuming you at least got to touch it, but hoping Remedy does more with Alan Wake, because I was a huge fan of Alan Wake.
Actually, yeah, I have Alan Wake on Xbox and PC. I bought that when it came out and just beat the shit out of it. And
I know that was one reason they released it in PC. They were trying to test the market, and American Nightmare was actually really good too.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It was a little like a lot of people were. Some not a whole lot, but some people were complaining about the story, going like, "Well, it's not Alan Wake," and I'm like, "That's the fucking point." It's not.
Well, it's supposed to be kind of like a pulp.
Well, it's Shadows Falls or whatever it was called, the TV show that he used to write pulp stuff for, and he's trapped inside of this culmination of all the crap that he used to just pump out. You know, it's all kind of wrapped into one.
And I
love
the Mr. Scratch footage. That was just
awesome. Yeah. Mr. Scratch is hilarious.
There's one clip where he's just like taunting him and just dancing. I was just like, oh, this guy's awesome.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed it and explained a little bit more of the backstory. The whole story with Zane and Mr. Scratch, and kind of let you in on that. And if I remember, actually, the very end of American Nightmare actually pretty much tells you everything about... I think it pretty much comes close to telling you everything about Mr. Scratch.
Yeah,
with what's going on, And
that actually felt like a console game to me.
Yeah.
I was completely fine with paying $15 for that.
I was a little let down that they actually explained so much of things. I was really hoping that they would continue, because Remedy did a fantastic job with Alan Wake. Sure, it took a while to develop, but you know what? The game is breathtakingly beautiful. On PC, it's fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, when I compare it to both systems, Xbox and PC, PC hands down, as usual, wins on the graphics for it. But I was really hoping that they wouldn't close the story out. They go ahead and continue, which they kind of let them where they can. But I liked Mr. Scratch, and I liked the Zane story so much, I was really hoping if they did another one.
Two is still really, kind of up in the air. They're talking about it, and I hope they do, because...
Well, I hope Microsoft takes the gamble and does it, because there's enough people out there who do like it. It's just it wasn't a huge top-selling game. But if I remember when it came out, it had some competition against somebody. I don't remember which game came out at the same time, but it was a bigger title that was a sequel or... Yeah, it was a sequel to something else. I want to say it was one of the Warfare shooters. Not Modern Warfare, just one of the war shooter games. Might have been Black Ops, yeah, it might have been. And and that's one of the stupidest things. I mean, we talk about game releases all the time, and we'll look at the schedule, and we'll see, like, something we're really... Like Deadpool, for instance. If Deadpool was to come out at the same time as, say, like, Black Ops 2.
It's gonna
fail. We're like, you're fucking yourself over. But that's not always their fault. That's usually the publisher is pushing to have it released. Because, like, well, we need to get this out this week, so we can compete and get some sales stuff and to fit in with the fiscal year, whatever they're wanting to do before the next holiday. Or they're like, we got another big release next month, we need to get this one out now so people can recoup and buy our bigger games coming out. And you're like, yeah, but you're releasing against Black Ops or Modern Warfare, you're gonna fuck yourself.
Well, and every game doesn't need to sell as well as Call of Duty.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to.
But if they really want to, and this is something that I'm sure every game developer who's worked with publishers goes into, if they just stop and think and say, which one would I buy in the store? Would I buy Black Ops 2 or would I buy this? If I was your average consumer, and most of the time they're going to go Black Ops 2 because...
Unfortunately.
Yeah, there's a lot of Black Ops gamers out there.
I'm okay with Call of Duty. I'm okay that it exists, but I don't like when it hurts other existing IPs. I don't like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like whenever I was in there picking up Resident Evil 6 was the same night that, what else came out that night? It was basketball, NBA.
NBA 2K.
Yeah, 2K12.
Would it be? I think it'd be 13.
Okay, 2K, yeah, 13. And there's like two people in there to pick that up. That was it. Everybody else is there for Resident Evil 6. Nobody's there for anything else. And I was like, that's about what you expect. Yeah, but it used to be there were a lot of people who were just diehard NBA fans. Yeah, every time NBA would come out, every time Madden would come out, stores would be packed for it.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, they're releasing these other games like Resident Evil on them, and more people are there to pick up. Not so much with Madden, but with stuff like NBA. People are there to pick up the other title like Resident Evil. So,
the reason the games like Call of Duty bother me so much, though, is because the best and easiest example is a lot of Japanese developers are like, oh, this game's making $300 billion a year.
Mm.
We're making $2 million. We need to try to do what they're doing.
Yeah.
And then you get a lot of, a lot of Japanese games are more Western now. And that's fine, I guess, but I like being able to go, oh, this is different, not like, this is the same thing, just a little different. I don't like how a lot of games now are just a different coat of paint, but they're all kind of...
Well, it's like with Final Fantasy, when you look at that from, like,
that's gone way
down. Like, how old are you now?
21.
You're, oh, Jesus Christ. Okay. I'm 10 years older than you. So, when I was, like, in my teens and Final Fantasy VII came out, that was, like, a whole new world. Yeah, I played Final Fantasy before, but this was something completely phenomenal.
Yeah, I remember when it came out. I played
and,
it. It was good.
Yeah, and now I look at the newer Final Fantasies, like, the newest one, that 13-2, was actually not too bad. That was actually somewhat palatable. 13 really pissed me off.
Well, you gotta be careful, not too bad, though. Because, like...
It wasn't bad. The story was actually okay. But Final Fantasy 13 just fucking irritated me. Because the entire time, my group is separated. I can't swap anything. I can't really do shit because they're separate. I have this great armor items I picked up with this team that really go well with Snow or with this kid or whatever, and I can't do anything
and
until
the 30
like
hour tutorial. 30,
yeah, until like 30, 35 hours later, I finally get the teams back together and I can start swapping shit. I'm like, oh my god, I can swap shit out, and then I'm like, I'm fucking bored. I'm done with this.
I hated how linear it was. Like, they're just tiny little hallway type paths in the game. I didn't like that.
Yeah, but 13-2 actually did a good job with the whole time travel and be able to go through and do stuff and change things. And it was actually really interesting the way they approached the game. The last good one before 13-2, I'm not saying 13-2 was excellent, it was good. Before that was 10.
Yeah.
11 and 12, fuck them. 9, fuck it. I really didn't like 9 just because I felt like they took a step back. I know they were trying to go back to a little bit of their roots, but you know what? You took 7 and you did 8, which is another fantastic fucking game, and now you're taking a step back. No, keep progressing forward. Let's see where you can take this. Don't go back. People are enjoying what you're doing. 10, they said, okay, let's go and push even further with the whole Xanarkand story and all that crap, and Tedious is what I call him. Orin was 10 times cooler. I wish he was the main character. But it was a fantastic fucking game. Very open world, very awesome as shit. And then 11 and 12. And then Final Fantasy Online.
I do feel like JRPGs have gone downhill quite a bit. Like, if you look back, there were so many good games. Final Fantasy 3 or 6, mm-hmm. whichever you want to call it. 4 was great.
Yeah.
Chrono Trigger,
Xenosaga. Well, Xenogears, not Xenosaga.
Chrono Trigger, though.
Yeah, Chrono Trigger.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. It was fucking awesome as shit.
That game did so many
new
things. What's that?
Did you ever play Xenogears?
I don't think I had a chance for that.
They have two. There's Xenogears and there's Xenosaga. And the whole point was Xenogears came out supposed to be a 10-game franchise. And Xenogears is actually technically part 5 or something like that. Part 5 or 6. Because they said this is the most interesting one. They'll put this one out. And it's fucking fantastic. It's one of the best games you'll ever play. And did you ever play Xenogears, Rex?
I did.
Yeah, was it not fucking
Yes,
fantastic?
It was.
Did you ever play Xenosaga?
I did not.
About the first 10 hours of gameplay, you sit through about 5 hours of fucking cinematics. You're just
right.
Like, really, really, you're going to do this to me.
It's like the Metal Gear Solid 4.
Yeah.
Like 50 hours of cutscenes.
I think Justin was talking about one time saying, like, yeah, the cinematic started, and I went to go and cook something, I came back, it was still fucking going.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, that's how bad it is. And I'm like, you know, just let me do something. Even, like, let me play fucking Tetris in the bottom corner of the screen while you're
I just hate when, one of my biggest gripes that games do a lot nowadays is when they start off, and you'll get to have control of your character for, like, 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And then a bunch of cutscenes.
Yeah.
I'm like, no. Do that later.
Yeah.
Let me play. I bought this to play. If I wanted to watch a movie, I would have put a movie
on. Yeah.
I feel like a lot of developers should kind of look into making movies because it's what they want to do.
Yeah,
it seems like.
It's ultimately what the video game directors ultimately want to do that. just because of where it's going to go now. Like,
this is supposed to be an immersive experience, though, where I'm in control.
I feel so out of it at the moment
because
I can't do shit. And they go like, well, here, if we make it to where the analog stick lets them move the camera around a little bit, you're like,
no,
that doesn't cut it.
No.
I can look up and down about an inch.
Arkham City did great with that.
Yeah, they did.
I love that. Because in the very beginning of the game,
you
can move your head around,
mm-hmm.
and Hugo Strange is talking to you.
Yeah.
And then he walks out of the room, and I thought it was a cutscene when I was first playing it. And then, I break out of his chair.
Yeah.
And even as stuff's happening, like, my favorite implementation of this is when Penguin's about to punch
you. Yeah,
and then
say,
you're like, whoa, and
you
break his hand.
You press W and you break his fucking hand. Yeah,
like, do a cutscene like that where I can not just move my head around.
Yeah, exactly. And don't make it to where you're going to throw up some bullshit that might end my game.
Like Resident Evil 6 is QT.
Where it's like, oh, you're really immersed in that conversation, but you didn't hit the button fast enough to keep him from ripping your spleen out. You're
you didn't hit A and X.
He was talking to me about his barbecue. What the hell was I supposed to know? He's going to try and kill me. He was a snake guy. I don't care. He was talking about barbecue. I thought he was going to be
I actually didn't mind. I think the best implementation of QuickTime events was Resident Evil 4.
The fight.
Everybody bitches about those. I thought they were good.
Now, I liked...
Like with Krauser, when he first shows up.
Yeah, that's what I was going
to
say, When you first fight Krauser, it's a lost story to kind of catch up because you're like, oh, who's this guy? And it's like, you know, Leon knows him. You're like, oh, well, how the fuck did he know? And they use the whole fight to kind of explain to you their backstory. And then when you actually get to kick his ass later by shooting him in the fucking ankle over and over again, that's when you actually get to kick his ass.
That was actually an intense boss battle at the end.
It was
great.
Oh, yeah.
I rage quit like 30 times because I actually had a lot of trouble getting through that.
I rage quit until I unlocked the unlimited ammo butterfly shotgun and then just went back to range and just fucking devastated.
Matilda was awesome, too.
Yeah.
I loved playing through with that.
That's fucking the typewriter. So, but I think we're going to take a break.
Yeah.
Rex is back in from outside. Because he walked away for like the last 30 minutes. We're just going to call him out.
Yeah, we'll explain during the break.
Alright, so we'll be right back. Had to take off, so he had to go swap out some drives, some very hard drives, and so now it's just me, Holly, and Josh. Justin's of course gone for the night. He's doing boyfriendly stuff or something like that.
Is that what he's doing?
Oh, no.
He's doing something.
He's doing something.
He's not here.
He's definitely not here, but he might be gay. We haven't figured that out yet. So, by the way, we're back, and we trucked through a very long segment with you guys of just, you know, reminiscing about some games and just pet peeves and things we love. And, you know, this next section is our usual letters and news and all that crap. So I'm going to let Holly go ahead and jump into some letters.
Yeah. So we've got one from Ian, of course.
Yeah, always.
It says, to the nasty one, Trentcast, DR, which I'm sure he means Drunkasaurus Rex, and that little old Minecrafting badger.
I like how he called me Trentcast.
Trentcast, yeah.
Well, it's like I was originally... Nobody was going to be on the cast except for me. Pretty much, and I was like, oh, fuck it, I'll do it. So I was like, welcome to the Trent cast.
So he says, I thought the cold opening with the Trent cast was pretty funny. I actually thought for a minute it was about to happen. Trent, I don't suck nearly that hard anymore at Left 4 Dead, I swear. Smiley face.
Just be happy I picked on you. I could have just totally been like, I don't want to talk about Ian.
Yeah.
There's no man named Ian, ever.
No one listens to us named Ian.
Mm-mm. Where does he live?
around that area, but I don't think we should talk about it on the cast.
Well, I'm driving through that area, probably on my way to Philadelphia.
I can give you his number.
I should probably go by and beat his ass at a couple rounds.
Well, if you go there, you could also see Nobbs and Donnie, too.
I can see Donnie, yeah. I don't care about Nobbs. Who cares about Nobbs?
Nobbs is amazing.
I'm sure he is.
Anyway, so he continues on. Did anyone notice that the Wii U... What?
This one too, and then, oh, he knows my Bioshock tattoo. And I got my paragon.
Anyway, did anyone notice that the Wii U is right around the corner?
Yes.
Two questions.
We were not talking about that during the break.
No, not at all.
Okay.
Two questions. One, what will it take for you to buy a Wii U, as in what titles or hardware? Do we want to answer that, or do I want to ask the next question?
We'll go with this one first.
Okay.
Josh, you're already getting one.
Yes, I...
What did it take for you to go for it?
There was the main thing... I like Mario, but what it actually... I was on the fence for a while, because I actually didn't get a Wii at launch. I actually didn't pick Wii up until about 6 months ago.
Yeah.
But what had me get off the fence was... I believe it was Reggie.
How did you get off?
Somebody... Yeah, when I got off. I think it was Reggie. I don't know, somebody up at Nintendo. Actually, no, it was Miyamoto. He actually talked about how Nintendo, in trying to expand their fan base, actually ostracized a large chunk of it, and they realized that mistake a few years ago while the Wii was still in its heyday, and they wanted to correct it, and they didn't want to announce that because they didn't want to like show any disdain towards what was a successful product, the Wii. But he talked about how they wanted to bring all those people back, and kind of like, so to me, the Wii was a bit of a love letter to the people that got screwed over with the Wii.
Well, I felt they were trying to win some people back when they started doing stuff like Silent Hill Shattered Memories.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was a... I wasn't a huge fan of it. It had some cool stuff. It was a very dark game compared to other Wii titles. And that's actually when I picked one up, was when Shattered Memories came out, because I picked up that. And No More Heroes. And loved all those. But everything else, I was just kind of,
yeah.
You
know? Yeah. But for me, it was mainly them saying, basically, in short, we screwed up, we're sorry, we'll make it up to you. So that's when I started paying more attention to it. And when I saw them, hardware isn't always important, because everybody, I mean it is, but everybody forgets that Nintendo's never had the most powerful system.
Yeah.
That's never happened, and it didn't matter because they were so innovative and they were good with what they had. I mean, you look at the N64, that was nowhere near as powerful as the PS1,
no,
but Ocarina of Time.
But when you look at like GameCube was actually pretty damn good.
And GameCube was only second to the Xbox.
I know, I know.
PS2.
And beautiful graphics. Like, you're just now playing the Resident Evil remake. You have to admit, it looks...
Oh, it still looks good.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the cool water effects on the ground when you're walking through them. The shadows, the details, the textures. Even Resident Evil Zero, if you haven't played that one yet, it's worth playing on the GameCube, which is the only system it came out for, other than the original title, which came out in 64 in Japan. But picking up on GameCube, it's actually a fun game.
But that's what it took for me. I'm always going to have a soft place in my heart for Nintendo, but I still was like, no, I'm not getting one.
Mm-hmm.
But when I saw they were getting serious and they were going to get their shit together, that's when I said, okay.
Like, we are serious.
Yeah. So, but Mario doesn't hurt. And if you haven't seen the concept trailer for the Zelda game that's actually going to come out the same year as the PS4 and next Xbox, I believe that's intentional and it's going to take a lot of business away because it's Zelda.
Yeah.
It looks phenomenal.
Yeah.
Awesome. I would have to have money to buy it.
But you're welcome to come over and play it at my house.
If I remember, our boss, me and Holly, our boss actually bought Wii's for Christmas.
So hopefully.
Well, they're a little bit more expensive this time, so I don't know if he'll go.
Not too bad, actually.
Not too bad, yeah. But I'm wondering what he's going to do this year for Christmas stuff, because we've had a pretty okay year here and there, a little ups, a little downs, but all in all, it's been pretty okay.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see what he does with that.
I'm also a big fan of what they're doing with the hardware, or the hard drive storage. The best Wii U bundle you can get, which is the one I've got, it has like 32 gigs of storage, and everybody might kind of scoff at that, but I believe it was Reggie that came right out and said at their big conference, everybody isn't going to want 500 gigs of storage. So instead of charging everybody for that, we'll just make it, which is what they're doing. You can plug a USB drive in there. You can plug anything you want to plug into it. It'll work.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to do size limitations on it either, like Xbox does with their when you plug in. Like, I have a nice 500 gig passport over there.
No, yeah, you just plug that in.
But if I plug that into my Xbox, I'm going to use, like, I think it's like 16 gigs or something like that. And that always pissed me off because I'm like, 16 gigs.
Well, they want to buy that $300 hard drive. Come on.
Yeah. It's like, I have, luckily I have the expand, sorry, the what was it, the 250 gig.
That's what I got.
Xbox Slim when it came out. I went and bought that like last Christmas when it came out, because my old one, I had modded out into a portal case and sawed it out, and I had an aperture symbol on one side with some neon lights, sorry, some LED lights that transitioned. And I painted the whole thing black, and it just looked nice. I ended up selling it because I had to replace a CD drive on it. And I was like, I'd like to just go ahead and get a new one, so I sold that with a portal mod. And 250 gigs is quite a bit of fucking storage for games, to be honest, you know.
I actually install a lot of mine, because a lot of games, it actually makes them really nice.
Oh, yeah. Like, Borderlands, you had to install the original because of the frame rate, and Skyrim is great
Rage
installed.
Looked much better
Rage
installed.
Rage was so much better installed. But I need to go through and clear out some of my old installs from games that I got rid of.
Yeah.
But, and that's one of the things I love about it, is that there's games on there, I'm not having to sit there and swap shit out just to make room.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Halo Reach is 24/7 always installed on that hard drive, ready to go, because there were some problems with the game there. If you didn't install it, sometimes it wouldn't load the map packs properly in the lobby, and so it's just constantly on there because I like to play it at the drop of a hat. Same.
They're actually having Halo 4, you have to install the multiplayer portion of it.
And then Beatles Rock Band is always installed on there.
Oh, such a good game. I love the Beatles.
Yeah, it was a great fucking game.
Me and Caleb argue about that all the time.
No, it'd be
okay.
It's like, the only good song they have is Rocky Raccoon. I'm like,
fuck that. That's not even one of their best ones. But a little let down on some of the song choices. I was missing a few. But
you gotta get that DLC.
Yeah, but Wii U, I don't know. I really don't know what it would take.
It'll take me coming over here and showing you, and then you'll go buy one.
Well, I really want to play Zombie U, but at the same time, I'm really looking forward to stuff like War Z. And I would get one, just probably not this Christmas. I'll probably end up having to wait, because I know a lot of them are already, like, places already sold out on pre-orders anyways.
GameStop's got a waiting list.
Yeah.
Okay, so next question. If this flops, will Nintendo go the way of Sega?
Absolutely not.
No, they're too financially rich. I mean, look, they own pretty much the largest bulk of famous franchises and video games that are retro as well as even newer ones from, like, say, the 90s and early millennia. They're not going to.
Well, from Mario to Pikmin.
From Mario, yeah.
They're set.
Yeah, they're not going to go anywhere.
It'd take millions of flops them to lose money. They've got so much.
And he says the way of Sega, which we were actually discussing earlier before we read this question, was that Sega went the way of, they decided to get out of the rat race of consoles and said, fuck this, let's just make hardware for other people, like, you know, controllers and crap like that.
Don't they own Mad Cats?
Yeah.
Okay.
If I remember, I think they own Mad Cats. Yeah, I think they're the ones that own it. And I'm not a really big fan of Mad Cats controllers.
No, me neither.
No, I use PvP controllers for the most part, because I have my Tron controller, my Clue special edition one, and I love that, and Justin uses his, he uses the Afterglow one, which he loves to death. And
that's actually got really good response.
Yeah, they're really
like
good.
It.
Yeah, and the Tron one I love to death. I use it on my computer. You know, I play all my PC games that are controller enabled on that.
On that note, though, I don't think that everyone would go the way of Sega, but I actually wouldn't mind if they did go that way, because I feel like Nintendo's biggest passion is making games.
Oh, yeah.
So if they did go that way, I think they would be just as good or better. I don't think it would hurt them at all.
Yeah.
It would just be you're playing Zelda on your Xbox instead.
Yeah.
But
Yeah, plus, I mean, if they went that way, then, you know, the consoles that they would end up being, yeah, they would be put on other consoles, so it wouldn't be one of those things where I have an Xbox so I can't play Mario games.
Yeah.
But I now mean, they're actually releasing them on that, and that'd be great.
So. I would actually love to play Donkey Kong Country Returns in HD on my Xbox.
Yeah. All right, so that was Ian's question.
Yep.
All right.
That is all with the emails that we have.
That was it? Okay.
Yep.
And what was our question from last week, Colin?
Our question from last week was, what game are you more excited about, Assassin's Creed 3 or Hitman?
Ah, I remember that question, yeah.
Well, it was your question.
Yeah, I remember.
So I'm
going to go with Assassin's Creed 3. The Assassin's Creed games, I'm really invested with the story. Not so much the overarching story. I know I might get some hate for that. I mean, the Desmond stuff's neat and all, but I'm more interested in the individual, for the ancestors,
the
you know, story. Those.
Yeah.
I mean, Desmond's stuff's cool and all, but I actually almost don't like getting pulled out of the ancestors narrative and getting dragged out
with
the whole conspiracy and, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
It's neat, but I'm really excited, and plus I can yell America every 30 seconds while I throw a tomahawk at a Brit.
Yeah.
So that'll be cool, but I'm really excited.
You got George Washington. Yeah.
And actually, yeah, that DLC looks great. That Tyrant DLC.
Yeah.
So, some of our answers, I mean, obviously, we can only have a few. Jeremy said Hitman. Thomas said Assassin's Creed 3 for sure. Josh said neither. Too many sequels to follow both. Blake said Assassin's Creed 3. Ryan said Assassin's Creed 3. Either fuck the world or for the win. I don't know what he means. Doesn't matter. Caleb said Assassin's Creed 3. Brian said not a big fan of any of those. Michael said Assassin's Creed 3, but Hitman is a close second. Tover said Hitman. And then he said, wait, Assassin's Creed 3. And then Andrew said, Assassin's Creed 3. Duh.
I think I'm with Michael. I'm excited about Hitman, but if I had to go with one or the other, Assassin's Creed.
And
see
then John from Carousel on Twitter said, Murica. So I'm going to say
Murica.
Assassin's Creed 3.
Murica.
I'm just going to assume.
Possibly.
And actually, the collector's edition of Assassin's Creed 3 comes with an American flag with the Assassin's logo on it, which I'm going to want to get and hang that up.
Yeah.
I might buy
that
a bunch of them
awesome.
And hang them up everywhere.
For me, it's one of those things where I love Hitman. Hitman's been around longer, of course, but the story with Hitman's always been pretty good. if you've played it from Solemn Assassin all the way up through some of the other ones, like, I mean, Blood Money really didn't have a whole lot, you know, going through contracts is kind of a greatest hits thing, and so it's nice to see them actually go back into a good story driven title, which Blood Money did have a story to it slightly, but it looks like they're really going to focus more on the actual story behind Agent 47 and the agency and his betrayal, you know, him being betrayed and everything and hunted, as well as his contact inside the agency. So it's going to be really cool to see Assassin's Creed 3. I mean, it's one of those things where I've actually played more Assassin's Creed games than Hitman games, so I'm really jazzed to see Hitman come out.
And the original development team.
Yeah, so I'm really jazzed to see, and Eidos always rocks their shit.
I did like the spin-offs, Brotherhood and Revelations, but it is kind of nice to be back to a numbered, this is the next, moving on.
Yeah.
Ezio was great, but let's move on now.
Yeah.
I'd probably pick both of them, but I mean, I'm not going to lie, make $9.50 an hour. I'm going to have to get the Wii U first and then hold off on those, unfortunately.
For me, my biggest thing when it comes to Assassin's Creed is something that's kind of left out since they've gone off on the offshoots of Brotherhood and Revelations is the memory sequences from Adam and Eve. You know, I want to... I know at the end of Revelations, they really kind of show you a lot more of what happened with this ancestral high-tech city with the alien gods and all that. And they kind of show you, here's the whole thing. That's great, but it really didn't show too much about the actual apple thing, you know, with Adam and Eve stealing the apple from those Inquisitor-looking guys, you know, so that weird dude that they stole the apple from. They didn't really go too much into that anymore, and I was really hoping to see more of that throughout those two side shot games. So I'm hoping now we'll actually go back in and see more of what really led to that, as well as what led to the destruction, the full destruction of the original city. So a lot of good story in that, and I think everybody at the end of, I think it was Brotherhood, whenever Ezio is inside the tomb, and it all starts to turn into like a Mission to Mars with Garrison Hayes, they were like, what the fuck?
I am happy that Ezio did kind of get a nice bit of closure at the end of Revelations, though, because I felt so bad for him at the end of, I think it was Brotherhood, when she's just speaking to Desmond, and he's like, wait, no, I don't understand what's going on. If, you know, he went through all that work and got, like, nothing, but I did like the Revelations had a very good sign up for him.
Well, with Revelations, if I remember, it's you go into that tomb.
Altair.
And, and he starts actually talking to Desmond's character as he's walking around because he knows that somebody.
It's like this cognitive.
You know, he kind of knows that somebody's there watching him.
I don't know who you are, but somehow you're going
to
get this.
Yeah, somehow you're involved in this, and I want you to know this, and you know where this apple is now.
Yeah.
And
I
it's really nice when they bridge that because it kind of, and also, it also kind of takes it from, it's almost like the deja vu. The film kind of thing where it's like, oh no, this is just software that lets us reconstruct things from satellites, and you find out, no, it's actually time travel. They're watching a window on the past, and it's kind of that's not the deal with the Animus as far as we know, but it kind of shows how there's this. It's not just reliving memories; you're actually reliving. You're taking part of cognitive memories that are actually.
I like that a lot because that kind of reminded me of Doctor Who.
Yeah,
with the Blink episode, for instance.
Yeah.
They're completely different times, but they're communicating.
And with Assassin's Creed, it's memories, but they're memories you can alter and change, and it's like everything that exists at that point you can see, even if you weren't there, because it's all there, you know. And that was actually kind of cool. It's kind of like the Jungian collective, memory kind of thing. And that's why.
So from what it seems like, Hitman looks good, but we're more pumped about Assassin's Creed.
No, for me, it's actually Hitman.
Oh, it is?
No, I'm totally excited for the new engine. Up to 10,000 freaking NPCs on screen at once, doing their own little things. I mean, imagine tracking a fucking mark through a crowd of 10,000 fucking Mardi Gras people. I am fucking excited for that. You know, Assassin Vision. Fuck! No, do it the old way. Where you just follow them through a fucking crowd like in Assassin's... Hitman. Totally jazzed about it. And to be honest with you, these are two games that are so similar in their approach that you're fucking assassins. You track people, you hide, you go in fucking cognito, you dress up.
Yeah, but Ezio or whatever, Desmond, the assassins in those games, he kind of reminds me of Batman, so I'm a little more partial.
Yeah, there's a lot of rooftop climbing, But no, I'm just really, to be honest with you, it's almost like, it's two apples. You're not really comparing oranges to apples, it's two apples. Both are the same type of games, just one's a little bit more,
One's a red apple and one's a green apple.
Pretty much.
Okay.
One's a Macintosh. One's a granny. So, and Hitman would definitely be the granny since it's older. So, anyways, did we get any other answers on that one?
Sample these apples.
Yeah, sample these apples. Sorry, we shouldn't. Anyway, so.
I just forgot the name of it, but Ubisoft's other game that's coming out. I can't remember what it's called, but the one they announced at E3.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking
that
about.
One looks like a more like futuristic technology-based Assassin's Creed. So that actually looks really cool, too.
It's Watch Dogs.
Yes.
That one's looking pretty interesting. Like, the entire the demo they showed, where the guy walks out on the street and uses his cell phone to change his stoplights.
Yeah.
Crashes a car, and he goes into a fucking shooter at that point.
That looks
pretty
good.
Like, this looks really fucking cool. When I showed people at work that and showed other people, I was like, this is fucking phenomenal.
That was interesting at E3. I thought it was really funny how Ubisoft had a much better conference than all the main three public, game developers or console makers, whatever.
Yeah.
Nintendo kind of blueballed us and waited till later, but...
Yeah.
I thought their... Did you watch their conference?
Yeah, we
I was very impressed by it.
Yeah.
That was that night where I was like, okay, I might go pre-order a Wii U tomorrow. I ended up watching it the morning that they... A few hours before GameStop opened, I watched that, and I was like, okay. I'm going to go pre-order one now.
Nice. But now, I think it was actually Microsoft. I mean, with Microsoft, I was like, okay, what are they going to show?
They're focusing way too much on peripherals, I feel like.
Yeah. Well,
check out Kinect. Check out Smart Glass.
Well,
how about some games?
What they're doing, is they're trying to get geared up for that next-gen system by showing you, here's the beginning. Like, it seems that and this is totally logical when you look at it. The Xbox has become a testbed more than anything because they've kind of reached this point. They're like, we've got everything in there we want. We've got a better design now that actually stays cool and doesn't melt the fucking thermal paste off of your freaking motherboard. Sorry, off your board, causing your system to break and red ring. We've taken care of all that. Now let's just fuck around and come up with shit. So what can we do?
It's already perfected. Now let's play around with it.
Yeah, let's play around. And I like that because you're seeing shit that's the base of the first stage of crap. And
well, and we're going to give... that makes it so the first... Age of Crap will be at the end of a already excellent generation instead of the beginning. That'll make the next one even better.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm actually excited, to see the smart glass come in with connecting your Xbox down to other Microsoft devices such as the Windows 8 tablets. stuff like that, as well as even your smartphone.
I was a big fan of how they decided to, because I mean, they could have just made their own tablet you had to use, like they did with the hard drives. You have to use our hard drives. They could have done that, but they were like, you know what? If you have a tablet or a smartphone, download our app.
Yeah.
I was a big, it was like, wow.
I was impressed by that, because I was like, you know, it's almost like they've reached this point where it's almost like years and years and years of penis envy and who's got the bigger dick. Now it's just like, you know what? Let's just do it. Let's just go ahead and start doing shit. I don't care if you've got an Apple or if you've got a Samsung. It's going
to
work.
Well, that's kind of, that's kind of different from what we usually get from...
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, Apple, Microsoft, whoever it is, they usually, you're going to use our device.
Yeah.
So it was actually really cool. I hope that actually impacts other business models and other people see that as well.
Yeah, exactly, because it would really...
It'll help them overall.
It'll open up the field a lot more for unified development rather than individual research development to fuck each other over as to who can do the next big thing, when in reality, you're both working on the same thing, just not together. If you work together, you could get a lot more done.
You're in separate rooms achieving the same goal.
Yeah, like, have you seen Tactus?
No.
The new Tactus stuff? Tactus is a nano-responsive screen that they're aiming to have released on the new generation of smartphones coming out. So basically, let me grab my cell phone. So your screen, say you want to pull up your keyboard, the screen itself, the flat part, will actually raise up into a keyboard. So you can feel it, and you can actually control it, and it's within nanoseconds of touch, it can respond.
That's neat.
And if you go and you look up just Tactus online, you'll see a bunch of videos showing demonstrations of it turning into keyboards and stuff like that. It's really fucking amazing.
Sounds good.
So, and that kind of crap I'm really excited to see, because that's like a whole new generation of controllers in my mind that I'm thinking of, because I'm like, you're going to make controllers that are similar to the Wii U, where you've got the giant tablet kind of thing, where there's no buttons. The buttons actually raise up out of the glass for when you need them. So they're not just there all the time.
Yeah.
That'll be pretty cool. So the controller itself becomes context sensitive, which is fucking awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, that's amazing ideas.
Touching back on the Wii U topic, I was actually very excited that they released that Pro Controller as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because that makes it so a developer does not have to use the gamepad tablet.
Yeah.
And which means that, I mean, I'd like to hope and think that that means there won't ever be any gimmicky feeling things with the, like the Wii, there's a lot of shovelware.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that there isn't. And actually, I forgot that, I think it was Xenoblade Chronicles, the one for their big release for the Wii.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting and neat how they used the Pro Controller that plugged into the Wii. Because I used to wonder, did they make it so they couldn't use that? Because everybody's using shitty Wii controls.
Yeah.
No, you can use that. I wish more developers would have utilized that.
See, what really made me mad was, irritating me, I was watching E3 coverage, and they had that one guy from BioShock team. the head guy, the balding dude, I forgot his name. They bring him out, and he's
He's not bald, is he?
No. It's Ken something. What is it?
Ken Levine.
Ken
Levine from BioShock. They bring him out, and he's going on about how, oh, for years I hated the idea of the PlayStation Move, and I never wanted to develop a game. And they say, well, why don't you make, you know, BioShock PlayStation Move? Like, I'm not going to do it. And he's like, I'm finally giving in. And he says, because if you turn it sideways, it has a controller. And I was like, yeah, but you still have this giant fucking thing sticking out the side of your fucking controller while you're trying to... I like to hold my controllers like this, you know, with my fingers up here, not like this.
I did like turning the Wii remote sideways for playing NES games.
Yeah, but those were small enough.
Yeah.
This is a fucking... A Move thing is like this big, and the controller on it's like that big. So you're sitting there trying to hold it like this rather than like that. And I'm like... You're really going to do that. You're really going to go ahead and just fucking bow down and let PlayStation fuck you in the ass.
That's probably what happened. They probably pressured him. But it's much better to say, I thought of this and it's my choice.
Yeah,
exactly. They made me.
But it irritates me because it's gimmicky, in my opinion. And they're like, oh, but we're going to utilize it with the Sky Hook, so it's a reason for you using the game.
I don't like that.
I was like, why would... I'd rather just press the run button and jump and have it automatically Sky Hook, because that's more of that... Yeah, kind
of
feel to me, like that, because then I have to run and then whip it off to the side, and I'm going to throw that fucking
I'm okay with motion controls, but I don't want to take over, because the fact remains, I just got home from work, I'm fucking tired.
Yeah.
I want to sit down and hold a controller and play a game, not do backflips and wave my arms around.
Well, it's like when I was playing Silent Hill Shattered Memories, I just sat in my chair and had my arm positioned to where I never had to move it. I just kind of...
The Resident Evil 4 on the Wii, that's what I did. I actually...
Yeah.
I was back in high school. I had my TV on my dresser, and my TV's way up here. I'd have to stand up.
Yeah.
I just stuck my the Wii sensor bar like on top of my dresser drawers. Yeah. That was just level with me, and I just put my hands on my knees.
Yeah, that's what I would do. Yeah, and it's just, you know, and it sucked that I had to rearrange things in order to get it to work that way, but it worked in the end. But it was just, I was like, fuck the game.
It just adds more trouble than it's
worth. And of course, with the Wii U, they have the Xbox type controller
I'm very happy they did that.
Yeah, with the old school NES controller that's built in. I was like, hey, that's a good use of the space. And
I'm really hoping that cuts away from gimmicky titles. Like, oh, we had to use the gamepad. No, you didn't.
No, you can use anything you want.
I also like, I hope more games do it. I hate giving Call of Duty too much attention, but with Black Ops 2, you can play split screen and one of the people can be on the gamepad.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think that's really neat. That gets rid of screen looking and all that stuff.
Well, it's,
I mean,
like, it's like with Sony and their 3D split screen television. Where
yeah,
it's,
that's,
you know,
pretty neat.
That was actually pretty kick ass. I was like, the price tag's not bad. Cause I think it was like, what was it, $300 or $400?
It's
and
not
you
too
get
bad.
You get the Resistance Collector's Edition Resistance 3, which Resistance is a good game series. I like Resistance.
Yeah.
Resistance 3, while it was a little closed world, a little bit too linear, it was still actually a really good looking game. Yeah, and that was one of the last games I played on PlayStation 3 before I got rid of it.
If
but,
you look at that 3D
you know,
TV, though, without the glasses,
yeah,
it's like looking at somebody welding without a shield
on.
That thing just fucks your eyes
up.
It
is. But the idea behind it was really great that you could have two people playing on one TV but see completely different things.
I wonder how much
so,
it took to develop that. I bet it was pretty...
For the price tag to be what it was, it probably wasn't a whole lot. It's just
a really good idea,
though. The pixel shift, you know, and I was like, that's actually pretty fucking smart. And I would hope that in the future... More and more TVs become more and more TVs and games become more compatible.
Yeah,
with that, with different
that was my initial. I was excited, and I was like, "Oh, I'm primarily an Xbox gamer." Sad
yeah,
face.
So Sony's going to sit off for a while, but if you know, if the game industries finally start working in this spirit of camaraderie, that would be great. Then you might see it. But anyways, our question, because we're not going to be here next week because it's Halloween, Halloween, so we're going to be off doing shit. You're going to be doing what? Holly?
Drinking?
Yeah, but what are you going as?
Well, that's our question.
I know, that's why I'm asking you.
I am going as Cortana from Halo.
Yeah, and you're doing your hair cobalt, well, bluish tonight.
Yeah, I'm doing blue hair, and then I'll have liquid latex all over my body.
Yeah, wearing pretty much nothing.
I'll be wearing underwear and probably flip-flops.
Yeah, so we're going to get photos of that for the website.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the parental advisory. So what are you doing?
You're not
going
to be able to see anything.
The Wii U release has hampered my money, and I also have a good excuse not to have to do too much. My girlfriend's parents requested that she and I pass out candy at their house, so I'm probably going to get a six-pack of Guinness and eat half the candy and pass half of it out.
There you go. Yeah, that's what you do.
Bring my Xbox over.
Are you dressing up over the weekend?
I'm trying to, maybe, I was thinking about dressing up as a creepy dad.
Oh, yeah.
I think that'd be kind of fun.
Or like a Hawaiian shirt and some shorts, and maybe have my shirt buttoned down a little too low.
Just pick your belly button a lot.
Yeah, comb the chest hair out and just say really bad jokes and
yeah,
on teenagers. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. God. As for me, I don't know what I'm doing.
I think I'm looking at your face right now. I think I could
yeah,
see you being a good Gordon Freeman.
Yeah.
That actually is looking pretty
yeah,
viable.
Yeah. I don't want to have to make a hazmat suit.
Or you could just bring a boulder with you everywhere, and you could be Chris Redfield. Just punch it.
That would work. But I don't think I'm actually doing anything this Halloween. Every Halloween, people are like, what are you going as? I'm like, the thing. They're like, what? And I'm like, it can be anybody. It can be anyone or anything. And I think this year...
Just be Clayface.
Yeah, I think this year I said something about going as a certain guy that we used to work with who's mentally insane.
Yeah.
Going as a sociopath. And I'm like, yeah.
We actually have a guy at work who is kind of hipstery and kind of really pretentious, and he wears... the hipster glasses and really, really deep V-necks.
Hmm.
And one of my buddies, Zach, is actually going to be him. So that'll be interesting at work because he's going to walk around being a pretentious asshole. And who are you? Oh, I'm him.
Well, we did that name draw at work.
Yeah,
so that
I'm
we
not
could all
do
go.
That.
I'm not going to do that because I got Vanessa. I'm not coming to work dressed up like Vanessa. That's
I got Amber.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I just wear purple.
Yeah, sure, it's a lot of purple. So... But, yeah, so I'm not going to participate in that shit. So,
I don't know who got me.
I have no idea. Probably Johan.
That's not going on.
He could definitely wear my clothes.
Yeah.
It is tempting to be Caleb for Halloween one year. That'd be fun.
Just get, like, a red.
You're just a big... I could just dress up as Carrot Top.
Yeah,
you,
just
go
as Carrot
really,
Top.
You have to do
Caleb.
A bunch of freckles. You just, I mean, if you're going to do Caleb, just go and do a full-out ginger. Even if it doesn't look
oh,
like
yeah.
him, just do full-out ginger. You're like Chucky.
I didn't know how to play the piano. I'm just going to get drunk, play the piano all night, and just say, I'm Caleb.
Yeah. Just sing about how you're Caleb.
Whenever Holly walks by, I'll go, Holly, yow, 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 because that's how he calls you.
Yeah. But, yeah, so that's basically our question. You know, I'm going to be prepping to go to Pennsylvania. You're going to be going as Cortana. You're going to be handing out candy while you're drunk, which is a great combination. And so we're asking everybody, since we're not going to be here next week, you know, tell us what you went for Halloween or what you're going
to. Send us pictures.
Send us pictures and so we can look at them.
And if anybody's doing any pranks, I would like to see some pictures.
Video.
Pranks, definitely.
We will not turn it over to police.
I will not. If you
end up mentally handicapped.
I mean, if you set a house on fire, we're going to have to report that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, nothing too bad.
Don't try to mirror the crow, but...
Yeah, dress up as a clown and scare babies. I'm fine with that. Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Needs to happen at some point.
If you want to reenact it, that'd be great.
Yeah, those babies need to get thicker skins. So, let us know what you're going to be doing for Halloween, what you're going to be dressed as, send us photos, let us know
if anybody wants to do any bag snatching, that'd be funny.
Yeah. Actually, it's funner when you put the kids in the bags and just drag them along. Yeah, so, but yeah, let us know that shit, and we will be back, like I said, not next week, but the week after, which would be into the first week of November.
Yep.
So, but that was our question. And there's really no news for this week, is there?
Nope.
Really isn't. Yeah.
Maybe give a little feedback on me. Tell Holly or Trent if I'm annoying or if I'm working.
Yeah.
Yay or nay.
Yeah, let us know if you like Josh or not.
That's not his name.
Yeah, it is.
Caleb does call me Jersh.
Jersh.
Well, I think we need to come up with a... like Yahshua. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, my girlfriend calls me Yashva.
Yashva.
I actually have a shirt that says Yashva on the back.
There we go.
Nickname she has for me is Steamboat. I'm not really sure why, but...
Well, I think Ian's the one that normally gives out nicknames anyway,
We should get a podcast gamer tag where they never know who it is, and we just go on there and just troll people hard.
Not everybody knows our voices now. We'd have to
just
get
there.
A new person. We'll just whisper in their ear.
Freaking, just keep sending messages while you're playing with them. It's like every time they kill someone, just send them a message. It's a nice kill.
That's my favorite part about Call of Duty is all the troll videos online. People just really, really incessantly fuck with somebody. It's fun.
That's I like watching the Minecraft videos where it's like
people just grief people.
Yeah, well, I watched this 45-minute grief video of this guy who I felt so bad because the guy's like, I'm in the server and this guy just gave me creative mode. And this guy had like this long ass freaking strip of a city. You know, I mean, it was just huge, all kinds of crap. And the guy turned on, was it Creative Block or whatever it is? It was Creative Mode, but I think it's called Creative Smash for PC. And what it is whenever you hit one block, it actually takes it out like dynamite.
It's awesome.
So it takes out like 20 fucking squares. And he just levels the city in like 2 minutes.
I do love watching videos. Somebody's like playing with somebody random, like, hey, check out this thing I built. And they're like, oh, that's cool. And they just set it on fire.
Bam, yeah. But what sucks though is this guy leveled this guy. So he didn't just level it. He dug into the ground and flooded the whole place as well. And just fucking, I mean, it looked like an apocalypse. And he kept freaking out because the guy's like, okay, the guy's off setting perms, you know, permissions and stuff. So hopefully we'll come back. And every time the guy would like go come back from AFK, be like, oh shit. He's like, where is he? He's like, okay, he went AFK again. Okay. And start smashing shit. He'd be like, so how are those permissions coming? And the guy's like, oh, I'm almost done. He's like, oh, that's cool. Is there anything I can do to help? And freaking breaking all this shit. And when he gets done, the guy goes like, well, hey, I need to reboot this one. Do you want to jump onto my other one? I have an old creative server where we just build a whole bunch of stuff. It's like huge. And he's like, oh, yeah, it'd be great. So he sends him over there. And he's just looking around, and it is a gigantic fucking city. I mean, there's spires and all kinds of crap. And so he built a neon cat, which kind of pissed me off. And even the guy was like, oh, fuck that. I'm destroying that. And he's like, I'll see if I can get him to give me creative mode. And he's like, wow, this is great. Do you think I could get creative mode? And the guy's like, yeah, sure. Turns it on, and he just starts fucking leveling everything. I was like,
that is so terrible.
It's terrible, but it's funny. Like, don't do it to me, but do it to everybody else.
I would be furious. I would unfriend somebody.
No, the better part, the better things to do. Now, in my opinion, the better way of griefing is not really to destroy people's stuff. The better way of griefing is to kill them. Kill them as many ways as you fucking can. Like, for instance, set up a switch that opens a door that drops them into lava. Or even better, their oven where they cook stuff. You put a little TNT off to the side with some of that Red Rock stuff that leaves a trail. And I think the way you have to set it up is you have to put you put a red rock with a torch next to it.
Yeah.
And then you put another trail to another red rock that has no torch, so that it has a torch that's unlit, and then you put TNT beyond that. And what it does is whenever they actually use the oven, it switches it and actually lights the other torch, which then sets off the dynamite and kills whoever's next to the fucking
oven.
That's
awful.
And blows up half their fucking house. And I was like, that's funny. Because, one, it kills them, so they lost other levels. But they can also rebuild it pretty fast. But it's just so sneaky because you're digging underneath their house. So you don't really have to worry about there being any, like, permissions denied for destroying their house, because the blast is going to take them out anyways. So you can just dig underneath their house, get it all set up. I think you have to put water. That's it. You have to put water or something underneath the...
So a possible homework assignment for the listeners, find Holly's stuff and just grief the hell out of
her. Yeah, just grief
the...
I won't let
you. Hotline. Yeah.
Well, we'll talk later. We'll take care of this. We'll help the listeners.
No, mine is definitely invite only.
I can fix that.
Yeah. Or even better is you say, hey, come check out my...
Well, no,
house.
I'm on 360.
Yeah.
So I could grief you, potentially.
If I invited you over.
Yeah.
All right.
But I won't now.
Unfortunately, yeah. Now you already know, so.
Yeah.
Not gonna happen.
But an even better one is you invite someone, hey, come check out my new house. You had just a little tiny house that's like maybe got two blocks of moving space. You bring him in and you shut the door and you hit the switch and it opens up the roof and there's lava up in the ceiling. It comes down all at once and just kills them.
So serial killers might start using Minecraft to kind of plan their...
Exactly, yeah. You can
like, how would this respond in real life?
Yeah, exactly. And it would be fucking hilarious. That's the fun ways of actually playing of griefing in Minecraft, is just killing people and doing it in such inventive ways that it takes you quite a long time to think of how to do it, but the payoff is so great. It's
kind of
so
like putting like a hitman spin on it.
Yeah, exactly. Putting a hitman spin on it, because all you're doing is just taking out levels. You're not destroying what they spent hours, if not weeks and months, creating. Like the guy who built the replica Star Trek Enterprise, the USS Enterprise. I would feel so bad. I don't know if he ever got grief, but I would feel so fucking bad if somebody came in there and griefed that guy. Because it is a 1-1 scale replica.
Now, can't you do backups and stuff of it?
You can
just
do backups, but not everybody does.
Oh, that's what I would do. I'd have like 6 backups.
Yeah.
And then I'd play jokes, so I knew I got another one.
Yeah. But it's one of those, oh, that's why they grief, because they know, oh, they probably got a backup. They can fix this in 2 seconds. But you're just like, man, but still... What if they don't?
Yeah.
I don't think I'd agree with somebody that had something like that.
Yeah, that's like a work of art. One scale replica.
I would probably just feel horrible.
Of the Enterprise. That's just fucked up.
Like, I'd be... as my life passes through my eyes and I'm dying, that would be one of the things that popped up.
Another good one I saw was these two kids that do these How to Grief at Minecraft videos. And one of the ones I did was they actually built an entire house on sand. But the way they had it set up is they hollowed out the entire ground underneath it to a lava bed that was like maybe like 200 blocks down, and they had this one little bit of freaking stone with nothing but sand pyramided, reverse pyramided out underneath, which came to the plot at the top where the house was built on. So when you take out that one anchor point that's the rock,
just drops it,
everything starts coming down, including the floorboards in the house.
That's awesome.
And I watched this thing, and I was like, that's actually really impressive, because they had this guy in there, they hit it, and it's just everything starts going, and all of a sudden the floor gives out, and you see this guy start falling into the lava. And I was like, that's pretty fucking funny. Now, if you could do that to somebody, that's a good one.
So that could be like a little side segment we do. We could just grief people.
Yeah. Well, what I used to... We actually have a Minecraft server for PC, and I built this really big palace thing with a giant lava spire that goes up all the way to the roof of the foe, which is kind of nerve-wracking when you're up there. But and I built it outside of the city walls that Justin and his friends had made. My goal was to actually tunnel into the underneath part of their fucking city and create a portal for just... things to spawn out of into their town.
That's cool.
Because every time that I go into their fucking town, there's like skeletons everywhere because of dark areas where they spawn. And I was like, it would be so easy to actually just flood this place with spiders. It'd be simple as shit. You know? Just amass a whole fucking bunch of them, lead them into a place, trap them, and then unleash them onto his fucking town. I never got around to it, unfortunately. I was too busy with other shit. So. But anyways, so that's our question for next week, is what are you going for as Halloween? We don't really have any news. We do have Assassin's Creed 3 coming out next week, but like I said, it's Halloween.
Yep.
We're going to be gone, but I'm going to see if Justin will do a video review and get it put up by Wednesday at the earliest, so that way you guys will have our input on Assassin's Creed 3, and that's it.
Halo 4 is coming soon.
Yeah, Halo 4 is coming soon. Hitman's coming soon. We have all these wonderful games coming soon.
Paper Mario?
Yeah,
Sacred Star?
Paper Mario.
I'm excited.
And eventually I will get around to playing the Borderlands DLC once I fucking have time.
I still haven't played the Mass Effect DLC, the newest one.
Oh, the, what, Leviathan?
Yeah.
Yeah, I played it. It's actually pretty good. It's interesting. It shows you a whole other take on... Actually, I take that back. You find out quite a bit, like, more about the Reapers and where they actually came from. Which
I'm wanting
nice.
To get it. I just haven't had a chance, but that's definitely...
Yeah. It's well worth it. It's actually... I just remembered it. It's actually pretty cool at the end of it, so... Because a lot of people were like... Because people are saying, well, the whole campaign is you're supposed to find a weapon that could possibly destroy Reapers. And you're like, well, you're not going to find it, or it's not going to help because the Reapers don't get destroyed by it. And they actually work it in the story well enough. And it actually does count as a war asset for the main game.
Okay.
Once you get it. I don't know if it changes the outro cinematic during the war scenes. It actually shows... whatever, you know, what the Leviathan is doing.
I was a big fan of the extended cut. That was really good.
The extended cut, I was happy the way they did it. I was really nervous they were going to rewrite the end completely, but all they did was go into a little bit more detail as to what happens, which I was fine with.
Have you seen the indoctrination theory?
No, I haven't seen
that. That's very interesting. That was before, that was kind of like what everybody kind of came to that conclusion and kind of came up with that before we got the better ending, but...
I haven't seen that
one. Really, really good.
Well, see, Mass Effect, a lot of people bitch about the ending, and I was actually very happy because I was like, you know... It comes down to one of those... I bitch about this when it comes to American cinema versus foreign cinema, and that is that when you look at movies that are French, Japanese, Korean, Vietnamese, Chinese, they don't spell everything out for you. A lot of it has to be, what do you think happened? What do you what do you want to have had happen? And in American cinema, everything has to be spelled out for people. When you watch something like The Ring, the Payne brothers originally didn't really tell you a whole lot. They told you the backstory, but they kind of left a lot of it up to you. When you watch the American one, they had to explain every fucking thing, like why it took 7 days to kill you. Why in the original? Because it's fucking chicken pox. In the new one, because she was alive in the well for 7 days before she died. No, actually, in the original, she was alive for 34 fucking years in the well. She survived for 34 years inside the well, feeding off psychic energy. But they didn't have that in the new one for the Americans, because Americans wouldn't believe that. Because they don't believe in superstitious crap like that, unlike Japanese. So... that was a little peeve that they have to explain all that shit, which actually ends up rewriting the story.
Cabin in the Woods, though.
Cabin in the Woods, actually.
I was a big fan of that. No?
Holly recommended that. I'm not a big Josh Whedon.
I watched it at their place.
Well, wait. Okay. I think you're possessed. We need to get an exorcist. How are you not a big fan of Josh Whedon?
I'm just not a big fan of Josh Whedon.
He's so good, though. I saw an interview
Avengers
with him.
Was about the best thing you did. That was about it.
Buffy was good. Angel was good. Firefly was good.
Buffy the Vampire, the comic book, was good. Buffy the Vampire, the original
you
movie.
You liked Willow.
Was good. No, I thought she was hot.
But you still liked her.
I'd fuck her. Even Willow as well, but still. Dollhouse.
Lesbian Willow.
Dollhouse, the first season was okay, but then it just completely got
I actually really like Dollhouse.
I saw an interview with Joss Whedon a few months ago. It was great. They were talking about how what would happen if you were able to keep making Firefly. Like, what would you do? And he's like, I've already got like 6 more seasons written at my house. I'm ready.
Yeah.
He's like, if anybody wants to pick it up, I've got a huge fan base. They're all dedicated.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got cult status.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
Yeah, that's one thing. I mean, Firefly was one of the only things I actually did kind of enjoy, like Serenity. It was humorous. I enjoyed it. It was funny. But the thing is with Joshua... Okay, with Cabin in the Woods, we'll go back to that. I like the idea behind what the movie was, with the idea of they collected all these great, horrific artifacts that basically are evil. And it was kind of a play on the usual stereotypical cabin in the woods.
Well, that's what I liked about it a lot. It was kind of almost like a commentary in horror movies.
Yeah, it was totally commentary, and they had the one guy who was totally not affected by any of it. He's just like, I think we should split up. He's like, are you fucking serious?
Like, why would we do that?
Yeah, that guy was funny. That guy was funny because they're like, dude, we've been putting the drugs in his weed for weeks. Why aren't they showing any fucking
sign? That guy is also in Dollhouse.
Yeah, yeah, I know. And I liked his character for what he was supposed to represent. The movie just kind of...
Yeah.
Is kind
there's
of
a fucking unicorn.
I know there's a fucking unicorn, but it was just fucking blah. There were giant spiders.
I thought the movie was great.
That reference towards Cthulhu.
No complaints to that movie. I can see where you're coming from, but I just loved that movie.
See, I'm one of those people that I look at this movie and I say to myself, there's a guy out there who wants to make a At the Mountains of Madness film, based on the original, H.P. Lovecraft story, involving all that crap. And he keeps getting shuffled around because he has too much artistic integrity to let somebody tell him how it needs to be done who's never read Lovecraft.
I respect that.
and that's Guillermo del Toro, who's been pushing for his At the Mountains of Madness movie, and I'm totally down for that, as well as Call of Cthulhu movie. I'm totally fucking down for that. And then this shit gets made. And I'm like, if you really want a movie that's going to be hilarious, because H.P. Lovecraft has actually got some really good humor in it, it's dark, it's disturbing, and it translates really well into dark comedy when you add that angle to it. But you've got that. It's scary as shit. It's mind-blowing. And nobody will touch it.
Nobody Maybe will touch he should it. Start a Kickstarter.
Guillermo del Toro? Yeah, he wants a huge budget to do the movie. He had it.
Use Kickstarter.
He had the okay to start the movie, but then they started throwing out demands for him, and he said, fuck it, I'm not doing it. So, as well as his video game that he was working on, that got scrapped as well. Which sucks. But we'll see what happens over the next couple of years. By the way, I mean, other movies that come out just kind of that reference Cthulhu, like even Hellboy 2 had references to it. Hellboy 1, actually, I'm sorry. Did a so-so job on it. Then you have movies like, what was it, Altitude, which came as about a bunch of kids up in a plane. And who are being stalked by Cthulhu in the sky. And it was an interesting take on a movie. It's just it wasn't that fucking good. The visuals were cool with Cthulhu, but that's about it.
I'd like a Resident Evil game, or a movie based off Resident Evil games.
Yeah, they tried that. It didn't work out too well, because they said that we're not going to call them zombies. We're not. Nah, that's pretty much... And throughout the entire first movie, I'm looking for a green herb. Just some kind of reference. I never saw one. I think I saw a potted plant.
I love those little shout-outs, maybe things like that, where it's subtle,
yeah.
It's just there.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, they're in a facility. There's got to be some potted plants somewhere. Like, just a little green herb that looks like a marijuana leaf. And all they had, I think maybe in one scene they had, like, a shrub thing. And I was like, no, that's not it. That can't be it.
Okay, well, we'll keep watching.
Yeah.
Where's it at?
They had no shout-outs to the series at all, pretty much, in the first Resident Evil. And I hate that.
Was it even was it even the T virus or no?
No, it was T virus.
So they got that. That was about it.
Yeah, that's all though. Yeah, they and then as they went forward,
it was like they read a synopsis of one of the games. Like, oh,
yeah.
Okay, we could do that.
Well, it's like Silent Hill. I mean, I'm actually
that was
slightly,
a good movie.
No, yeah, I love the game too much.
Well, I mean, not, but I mean, like by itself, it's decent. I liked it.
Yeah, I can stand to watch it if I'm bored, but it's like they fucked it so bad, and I was just like, man. They reversed the cult and fucked the cult up, what the cult's all about. They fucked up what the entire darkness is about and the fog and everything, and they screwed it all up. And they're like, and they made Dahlia Gillespie not a bad guy. And I'm like, Dahlia Gillespie's like the ultimate fucking bad guy in the first Silent Hill. How can you make her a good person? You know, I like Katherine Unger, she's a great actress, but Dahlia Gillespie's a total bitch. She's
actually
evil as shit.
You're probably gonna punch me in the face.
What?
I never got to play Silent Hill. Those are, I mean, again, I'm only 21.
Just
wait,
to
play
it'll,
those.
It'll
I'd like to play
out.
Those. I'm considering buying them on the PSN store and playing through them.
Yeah, I was going to say, it'll come out again, because I already did the HD release of Silent Hill 2 and 3.
I didn't get to play any of them.
So, well,
I would like to.
If you're going
to
play them, know this. Silent Hill and Silent 3 are connected. Silent Hill is the first game. Silent Hill 3 is actually the sequel to Silent Hill 1. It's the same characters.
So what's 2? Just
2 is an in-between, which then connects to 4.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of jump back and forth. And at the end of part 1, you play the baby in part 3.
I've been told if I'm craving silent or survival horror in lieu of like Resident Evil,
mm-hmm.
then I should check out Silent Hill.
Yeah, that's actually probably one of the ultimate survival horrors.
And then right here we got a picture of a, you know... some Silent Hill villains, basically, you know, some monsters from Silent Hill.
Oh, yeah.
The ostrich pillow. Everybody should get on that.
Nice.
See, somebody at work was telling me, if you put your hands at the top and you just duct tape your hands
there.
I saw one of those.
I saw one of those the other day. I was like, people are seriously going to buy this.
I'm going to buy one, not because I wanted it, just because
it's
so stupid.
It's on Kickstarter,
yeah.
And their pledge goal was 70,000. They've got 195,000. So people
see, I would like to get that for somebody as a gift just because I think it'd be ridiculous.
So now they can make almost 3 times as many.
Ooh, so many ostrich pillows.
So many ostriches.
Caleb's going to love I brought this up because I've been telling him about it because I just think it's so stupid. Like, why does something like this get funded and not?
Well, you know, everybody needs to go on Kickstarter, and I've donated money, and they need to go and donate money to Call Girl of Cthulhu. It's an independent film that looks hilarious as shit. So, do not donate to ostrich feather. Sorry, ostrich head pillow thing. They have enough money already.
They're set. You can pick one up later.
Yeah. So go donate to Call Girl of Cthulhu. And if you donate to Call Girl of Cthulhu, if you donate $10, I remember one of the funniest things I ever saw was if you have a dating website profile, they'll actually go in and rewrite your profile in the vein of H.P. Lovecraft.
That's cool.
And I actually went and made a dating profile just because I donated the $10. And I was like, write my profile in the vein of H.P. Lovecraft. So I'm on a waiting list now. So, and I think it's going to be fucking hilarious. As soon as it's done, I'm going to save it and take it off. But yeah. It's going to be fucking funny. So anyways, we're done. New releases we already talked a little bit about. So we're going to do our shout-outs. Holly, I'll let you do those.
Oh, man.
Because you have the computer over there.
Damn. Wrong
one
of us.
Whatever, you're used to it. You work with me.
That's true.
I never throw you under the bus, but, you know.
Okay, so, regard ferns. We have the Carousel Podcast. I don't even remember what the website's for.
If you hover over it, it'll tell
does
you.
Does it? No, it
no,
doesn't.
Look at the bottom of the screen over there. Bottom left.
Okay, yeah, there it is. I was like, I'm looking, I don't see anything. Okay, thecarouselpodcast.com.
Yeah, he hasn't put any title tag on there yet.
We also have elseworldspodcast.com, For the Love of Gaming at forlogpc.com, bmfcast.com, noquarters.net, and tvgp.tv.
I'm not doing it. You do it. All right, fine.
They do good things.
They do horrible things.
No. Good things. They do good things. And that's it.
Yeah, so.
Those are our
and you can reach us at tilcast.com. You can also reach us through teabag at tilcast.com. You can get us on Twitter at tilcast. You can get us on Facebook at facebook.com/tilcast. That's pretty much all of them, I do believe.
Yep.
Yeah.
That is it.
I'm sure Justin will find something to bitch about.
Probably.
So.
That's okay.
And we will find a way for you to be able to grief Holly in Minecraft when we can.
No, you won't.
Yeah. Oh, but what about Gauntlet? Because it's not this next weekend. It's the weekend after.
It
so.
Is next weekend. I think maybe we should let Justin come up with it. If he wants to decide on something, we can post it on the site.
I just say we say Left 4 Dead because he hates playing that.
And then just throw him under the
just
bus?
Just make him play Left 4 Dead.
I'll play some Left 4 Dead.
See,
fine.
He'll play some Left 4 Dead.
Okay.
You got Left 4 Dead 2?
I've got one. Caleb's got two, so I can borrow.
Oh, you can borrow that. Yeah, so there you go. Okay, so...
Do you PC or 360?
360.
Okay,
perfect. So,
awesome.
I say Left 4 Dead. We'll let him choose. So, we'll just tell Justin that's how it happened. And tell the rest of this, and he figures it out. So, not this coming up Saturday, but it's the first Saturday of next month at 10 p.m. Central.
The third.
Yes. Left 4 Dead 2 on Xbox, of course. You're going to be looking for our gamer tags of Nostalgia. What's your gamer tag?
Steamboat, all caps. There's a 0 and 7-0.
Wow. Alright, so we'll make sure to put that in the description and just keep an eye out for that. So.
Yeah. Alright, man. We'll see you guys later.
See you guys later.